It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we are, off and running on what should be a magnificent ninth day of November 2020, because of the news that we received over the weekend. Joe Biden, Joseph Robinette Biden, is in fact the president-elect of the United States of America. Hi, I'm Bob, and it is Moran Monday on the horn, and that tempers, for reasons that shall become apparent, that tempers the celebratory mood a bit, and we'll get into all the moranity in no short order. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and so we have thanks to send out to our subscribers, partial sponsors of this program. Thanks going out to our subscribers over the weekend. James, thank you, James. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Khalil. Thank you, Mary Bell. Thank you very kindly to Sue in the Great Northwest. Thank you, Brendan. Thank you, Marsha, Nancy, Dwayne. Thank you so very kindly indeed. Thank you to James in Illinois, to Reed. Thank you, Brock. Thank you. Thank you to all of you who, via PayPal, Patreon, or a la carte, keep this program on the air, and in particular, thanks to our subscribers. Those are our PayPal subscribers for the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th of the month. Thanks. Thanks indeed. So the fundraising goal stands at $300, and thanks to Harold, president and CEO of Sochtris, the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, we have $100 worth of challenges to get the day started, the evening started, and we've got our regular $300 fundraising goal. But if we raise two, we'll be done. Thanks to Harold. So thank you again, Harold. Thank you very, very kindly, indeed, for helping to make that possible. It's going to be every month is a struggle just to keep the program on the air. It is what it is. And we do need to knock out the fundraising goal this evening, tomorrow evening, because there are and this is a complicated financial term, shit ton of bills to pay. It seems like there always are. It was a magnificent weekend for a variety of reasons. One, it was much more like late April, early May, here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cold Trump, Virginia, Stan, we got up to 80. And so there I was out in the yard dancing and cavorting in my Speedo as I made chili, which, you know, the weather cooperated. Everything came together for perfect outdoor cooking weather. In fact, I had a bowl of chili I've got a few dregs left in the bottom of the bowl, as a matter of fact. And I had so much fun being out in the sun. it really does make a big difference for me just to get a little bit of sunlight on my pale pink flesh. And so, as a consequence, I've been in pretty good spirits, really. I started soaking the beans for the chili on Friday. And then on Saturday, I got up early and worked out at the outdoor kitchen table and put on the seasoning rub on the brisket and allowed it to sit for several hours and put it on the smoker low and slow, and it ran all night. Oh heavens, it was wonderful. And that night I started the Mayakoba beans in the crock pot and cooked them to not quite all the way done, because they'd be cooking in the chili as well, and you don't want them to go to mush. It's a nice thing about the Mayakobas. They've got a nice meaty quality to them that holds up against long, low heat. Sunday morning, got up, did all the prep of the vegetables and the onions, the garlic. Ferg helped out a lot. He minced up the garlic and minced up the onions and the green peppers and the jalapenos. My Foley food mill arrived, and I rehydrated a whole bunch of chili peppers. Japones, guajillos, de arbols, cascabels, californias, and came up with this beautiful brick red chili paste puree. It had this rich, there's a bitterness to it, and then there was almost a chocolate and a coffee quality to it. And so it all came together, I'd say about 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and began the long, slow simmer that has, in fact, continued into today. Gave away a bunch of it, took quarts of chili out to a number of friends and family members. And that left about 2 gallons remaining. And even now, it's still simmering, because the longer it cooks, the better it is. And oh, merciful God, it has a delightful spicy piquancy to it. It does, it does. Made some big actually quesadillas to go with it, dollop of sour cream in the middle. And whether it's hot or cold, it's wonderful. I don't know. If we ever get a horn in together, I'll make sure there's some chili, too. But I did it as a way of sort of celebrating the idea that Joseph Robinette Biden will be the 46th president of the United States. If Mike Pence isn't 46th first, and then Joe becomes number 47, and that's a distinct possibility. We'll get there when we get there. But probably the single most frustrating story I saw all weekend, and this is what happens when you have ideologue maggots buried deep in the bowels of government. Joe Biden, for obvious reasons, wants to set up a transition team, like any president-elect does. Now, the fact that COVID Caligula didn't set up a transition team isn't because the Biden administration didn't let him. It's because he was too stupid to do it. Because, in fact, Nitwit Nero is the stupidest man ever to occupy the office of the presidency of the United States of America. But on a day when, for instance, Florida reported 4,000 cases, new cases, of the Dondemic, when the United States crossed 10 million overall cases, when we've gone up near 240,000 dead in this country. Well, Joe Biden wants to set up his transition team, as noted. And the head of the GSA, the Government Services Administration, a maggot, said, "No, Joe, you can't do that." Because according to the thinking, if we could use that word broadly, I assure you, the thinking of the head of the Government Services Administration, who would be in charge of paying the bills for things like office space and salaries for members of the transition team and the like, well, no can do. Because according to the GSA, Joe Biden can't set up the transition team that will help to heal this nation because their God Emperor has not conceded defeat. I wish... I wish there was another way to do this, but there isn't. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's got the campaign funds to pay for his own transition team a la carte. Well, if he's going to start it as quickly as he wants to start it, that's what he's going to have to do. Because there is an un-American, disloyal maggot sitting at the GSA who refuses to cut checks. Again, because Nitwit Nero refuses to concede. Here's the damnedest thing, though. The idea of a presidential concession appears nowhere in the Constitution. You know, the maggots are so committed to constitutionality, you know, when they say they are. It's in the Constitution. But there's no constitutional necessity for a president to concede. When one president is voted out and another one voted in, there is simply a peaceful transfer of power. At least that's the way the Constitution contemplates it. So, as such, there is no necessity that Nitwit Nero concede, but there is also no requirement that he concede before Joseph R. Biden can begin taking steps to make his presidency and his transition smooth and effective. This is probably in a year of infuriating news, in 4 years of infuriating events, statements, lies, this comes as the latest and perhaps the greatest. This country is suffering. I don't know if you saw the story last week or not, but Jared Kushner's filthy companies are actively engaged in beginning evictions for tenants whose ability to pay the rent has run out as the Republicans have hung Americans out to dry, whose economic lives have been upended by the Trump pandemic. It's maddening. And apparently there's nothing to be done about it. As Kyle pointed out, Jesus fucking Christ, they really are trying to burn the government and the country down, and that is not an overstatement at this point. We must never let the Republicans gain any meaningful power in this country. They hate this country and are trying to make it fail. Precisely. They're trying to make us accept a second nitwit Nero term against our will. I mean, it's bad enough the first one we were forced to accept against our will. But damnation. And then, with whatever else it was that I had planned for this evening's More and Monday, well, right before airtime, bing, drops a story that, as has been known to happen from time to time, that completely upended all of my More and Monday plans. Just the same, though, the obsequies must be observed.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Behind these thin cybernetic veils of canvas, you will find Morans, the likes of which are difficult even to imagine. We've got them all. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, libertarians, trumpanzees, maggots, Republicans, all waiting for your enjoyment or your amazement or most likely your disgust. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Just a few mere steps away from the Carnival Midway, where only recently you were engaged in the vain attempt to throw ping pong balls into goldfish bowls in the futile hope that you would take home a precious baby iguana. Well, we're here and waiting for you. And they are all here. For Horn subscribers, well, the Moran Monday tent, you'll set yourself back about less than a half a stick of chewing gum as a $10 a month subscriber to keep the Moran Monday tent traveling to shopping center parking lots and carnival and fairgrounds across the country. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And, what sick thrills await you in the Moran Monday tent. As usual, a caveat goes out to anyone entering the Moran Monday tent. Please keep a close eye and perhaps even a hand or two on children, the purses, bracelets, rings, necklaces, pocket watches, wrist watches, billfolds, European-style messenger bags, and yes, even that precious baby iguana that you won somehow or another, getting the ping pong ball into the goldfish bowl. Because after all, the morons can get grabby. Head for the hills, and you'll be up to your armpits in morons. And like I said, I had Moran Monday all laid out, and then I get this headline from the New York Times. President-elect Joe Biden's transition. Live updates as McConnell backs Trump's refusal to concede. Because there had been some talk that at some point in time, Mitch McConnell will cut Trump loose rather than let him take, seeing as how Trump managed not to take Moscow Mitch down with him, and Moscow Mitch still has an inside shot at maintaining his death grip on our democracy, otherwise known as the Republic, otherwise known as the Union. McConnell, according to the New York Times, did not contradict President Trump's false claims that the election was stolen from him. among other things today, and putting a case of the turtle squirts into the national security community. Nitwit Nero purged his defense secretary, Mark Esper, who really hasn't been in the job that long. But Chinless Mitch grunted, croaked, whatever, the following.
President Trump is 100% within his rights to look into allegations or irregularities and weigh his legal options, said the worst human being ever to emerge from Sheffield, Alabama. Let's not have any lectures about how the president should immediately cheerfully accept preliminary election results from the same characters who just spent 4 years refusing to accept the validity of the last election.
You know, I'm really getting close to the point where I just say, I hope that when Mitch McConnell dies, that he dies horribly, that he dies painfully, that he dies in an agony that cannot be assuaged by any opioid known to the science of humankind. I hope he writhes. I hope he squirms. I hope he is engulfed in a misery that will put the end of Charles the Bad of Navarre aside in terms of the history of really bad ways to go. That's what I hope. I mean, I hope he hallucinates the licking flames of hell all around his extremities and up his spine. I hope the suffering just does not stop until his heart does. And I don't think I'm a bad person for saying that. I think it's okay to say that. When I consider the number, the millions of Americans that he has imposed his own twisted vision upon so as to make their lives a living hell, so as to make sure that they come to their end in grim and miserable death, well, the fact of the matter is he could be ripped to shreds by howling rabid coyotes, and the world would look at him and call it justice. Fuck you, Mitch McConnell. Fuck you with Ted Kluszewski's baseball bat wrapped in fucking barbed wire, you fucking animal. You disgusting scumbag. Characters who spent 4 years refusing to accept the validity of the last election. Characters. Well, you know, the reason we challenged the validity of the last election was because we know that Mitch's pals in Russia meddled in the election. We know that the Trump campaign canoodled with the Russians, that they even went so far as to LARP and smollock around with them at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland in 2016. We know that Nitwit Nero only became president by operation of an anachronism, a constitutional anachronism left over from the hateful days of our slavery past. We know that for a fact. We know that he got less popular votes by some 3 million plus than Hillary Clinton did. And this time, Joe Biden doubled that. So Nitwit Nero was a loser by some 3 million plus votes last time, and now it's up over 7. Yeah. Fuck you to death, Mitch McConnell, with a barbed wire wrapped baseball bat, you cracker ass turd. Trump spent the weekend making baseless bullshit claims, and Mitch McConnell can't even have enough respect for the Constitution, for the rule of law, and just for reality itself to remain silent. Instead, he gets his sniffer up there into Trump's fundament. There's a story making the rounds, and by story, I mean one that has been reported in media that's not afraid to put their name to it. No. But Nitwit Nero is grief-eating. That, in fact, he's eating his feelings and consuming mass quantities of the fast food he so adores. And that aides to him who are in his near proximity have taken to spraying aerosol around him to cut his flatulent stench. Yeah. Screw you, Mitch McConnell, and the horse you rode in on. Now, I want to acknowledge that, in fact, Joe Biden did call for greater civility in his address to the nation Saturday night. And I'll get on board with that as quick as the maggots do. This is absolutely revolting. Oh, and Susan Collins, probably has splinters in her ass from riding the fence so hard. After a couple of senators, but goddamn no, a couple of Republican senators, but God knows not many, congratulated Joe Biden and called him and called on him to, you know, respect the will of, and, you know, work with both sides, you know, because Biden in his speech said, "I'm going to be the president of all Americans." The stuff, you know, presidential sounding stuff, instead of saying things like, "We all bleed." No, in her statement, Susan Collins called Joe Biden the apparent winner of the election. Well, the apparent winner of the election, when the news broke of his having won, set off cathedral bells ringing in Paris. Bells ringing in Canada. Bells ringing and huzzas in the United Kingdom. The entire world seeming to breathe a collective sigh of relief that America somehow had returned to its senses, or at least something more than half of America had come to its senses. It's like something that Reverbo said to me yesterday. "We knew from recent history that a third of registered voters were well chumped, but almost half? Holy shit! It's a damn good thing we stopped it now. But the question is whether we did. We know we did. We outvoted him. We got a lot more votes than him well, by near double, if not more than double, from 2016. But there sits
Susan Collins, noted Republican moderate. There is a process in place to challenge those results, and consistent with that process, the president should be afforded the opportunity to do so. I know that many are eager to have certainty right now. While we have a clear direction, we should continue to respect that process. I urge people to be patient. The process has not failed our country in more than 200 years.
It failed 4 years ago, you stupid woman.
And it is not going to fail our country this year.
Jesus. Billboards need to go up all over Maine that say, Susan Collins is a horrible human being, and you are too if you voted for her. Why wouldn't we? On the other hand, Senator Chuck Schumer, after Moscow Mitch spoke, said Joe Biden won this election fair and square. Trump's claims are extremely dangerous, extremely poisonous to our democracy. Republican leaders must unequivocally condemn the president's rhetoric and work to ensure the peaceful transfer of power. Meanwhile, precious Lindsay, speaking from beneath the fainting couch down there at the ancestral estate of Smoldering Chode, said, why, if we let Joe Biden become president, we'll never have a Republican president again. To which more than half of America said, well, Lindsay, you know, from your mouth to God's ear. Because 239,000 Americans damn sure wish we'd never have another Republican president. Speaking of Joe Biden,
Susan Collins
said,
he loves this country, and I wish him every success. Presidential transitions are important, and the president-elect and the vice-president-elect should be given every opportunity to ensure they're ready to govern on January 20th.
I guess that doesn't include the General Services Administration actually paying for transitions like they have every other time that there wasn't a dark-skinned woman coming in as vice-president. Only Mitt Romney, Lisa Murkowski, and that new and different kind of Republican, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, have publicly congratulated Joe Biden. Ben Sasse going so far as to say that he and his wife was going to pray for both Trump and Biden, that they would, quote, be wise in the execution of their respective duties during this important time in our nation. Those miserable, traitorous assholes. All they had to do was vote to convict on facts and charges they knew were absolutely true, and we wouldn't be dealing with this. But no, they put their fucking party ahead of the country. Sorry, I'm tossing a few F-bombs around. Can't help it. Because, among other things, tomorrow is a big day for America, because tomorrow is the day that Amy Toney's parrot sits in judgment of the ability of tens of millions of Americans to go to the doctor when they're sick instead of simply dying quickly, which is, of course, the Republican health care plan, as Alan Grayson noted oh so many years ago. So that's how my plans for Moran Monday sort of fell apart. Because, well, there are
an abundance of morans for this evening. But yeah, tomorrow the Supreme Court hears the maggot challenge to the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act, which really shouldn't be in front of the Supreme Court again, because its constitutionality was ruled on years ago. And any practitioner of originalism or textualism should note that, if in fact originalism and textualism were anything but a sham and a fraud designed as a fig leaf for the ugliness that is Republican Federalist Society judicial policy. God almighty. But the announcement that, in fact, Joe Biden had won the election was, as noted, greeted by celebrations. People ran into the streets in Washington, D.C., ran to the White House, and began singing, na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, hey-hey-hey, goodbye. They went into the streets in New York. They went into the streets in L.A. But they didn't go into the streets here. As my phone, I was actually in the grocery store when the news broke. I had my phone in my back pocket, and it went and buzzed me a couple of times. And the only way I found out, nobody cheered, nobody shouted. There were no honking horns, no ringing church bells. But one guy a little further down the aisle from me in the Kroger, before he could stop himself, muttered loud enough for most of us to hear, "Fuck!" And that's when I pulled my phone out of my pocket and looked, and it said Joe Biden has been declared the winner of the... Right. The maggots are not happy. Kaylee McEnany, who desperately needs to... needs President Trump to... needs Nitwit Nero ever saying President Trump again. Needs Nitwit Nero to stay in office because she is otherwise unhireable. Yeah, her and her little cross, crucifix necklace wearing self. Filthy little hypocrite. She was holding a lie fest because lying is what she does best. See, I rhymed. Don't try that at home. And her lies were so multitudinous that even Fox News TV Radio Rwanda cut away from her, because there's no purpose in just letting somebody use your airtime to tell a bunch of lies. Take, for instance, one of the hosts at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, Sandra Smith, who had a woman on as a guest by the name of Cleta, no, really, her name is Cleta Mitchell. Cleta, of course, is the feminine gender Latin variant of Cletus. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. And there was an a hot mic moment in which Ms. Smith didn't know she was live.
The president, remember, just because CNN says, or even Fox News says that somebody's president, doesn't make them president. So I think everybody wants to know that this was done properly and legally.
What is happening? Like, Trace, we've called it.
And I think we have to look into every one of these concerns.
Yeah, and I think Cleta makes a very good point there, Steve. You know, that look.
over, whoever is decided to be the president, remember, just because CNN says, or even Fox News says that somebody's president doesn't make them president. So I think everybody wants to know that this was done properly and legally.
What is happening? Trace, we've called it.
And I think we have.
Yeah, you have. And, of course, that pissed off the toddler occupying the residence at 1600 Black Lives Matter Plaza. Yeah, Sandra Smith, you did call it. But Cleta there, thank you, Goddess of Irony. You are a good goddess. We will certainly sacrifice a rubber chicken to you at midnight, Cleta. You have to take these little lanyaps where they occur for you. These are little aids to maintaining sanity that the goddess, who is good, gives to us. Yeah. But it's all the same talking points, whether it's Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, saying the media doesn't choose a president. And look, if you look it up in the dictionary, you'll find that both usages are okay-ish. But the fact of the matter is, media is a plural noun. It's Latin. And so it would be the media don't, not the media doesn't. And for most Americans, that doesn't matter. But I noticed these things because I had a bunch of high school Latin and some college Latin, most of which I can't remember. But I do remember some of the basic rules. And the thing is, pretty sure Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, who tells us how intelligent he is, pretty sure he should know that. But he's running out there burbling about how the media doesn't pick the president. No, by God, the voters do, you stupid son of a bitch. And the media report, see, they report, third person plural. The media report what the voters have declared. But, you know, Rafaelito, right? Sure. But it's all the same. It's all the same talking point, based on what Nitwit Nero has been babbling through his thumbs and onto Twitter over the weekend. The funniest part of which, without a doubt, was when he tweeted Saturday, "Big news conference at the Four Seasons coming up." And there are different theories for how this worked out the way it did. Some people saying that he had the place wrong and had to correct it, because all of a sudden it turned into big news conference coming up at Four Seasons Total Landscaping. And that's where they had the big news conference talking about, babbling their bullshit. Four Seasons Total Landscaping, just off of I-95 in a not particularly, I've read, savory part of Philadelphia. Four Seasons Total Landscaping, which is next door neighbors with a dildo store. I'm not kidding. Because the Goddess of Irony, damn, she's going to need a vacation. She's been working so hard. The big news conference about the illegitimacy of the Pennsylvania vote was held in the parking lot of a landscaping business next to a dildo store. Really? That's not a joke. And I have a theory for why that was. Because, you know, as a borough billy, that filthy Trump clan are nouveau riche, and they pretend toward opulence and taste when they have none. That's why his nasty ass home in Trump Tower looks like King Croesus threw up in it. Nitwit Nero wanted his news conference to be had in a
really classy, ritzy place. We'll do it at the Four Seasons in Philadelphia.
And so he went ahead and tweeted it. But then, my guess is, the Four Seasons hotel chain wanted absolutely nothing to do with toxifying their brand by having a Trump event at it. And so the little maggot minions had to scurry around to find something called Four Seasons. At which point, Googling for all they were worth, they found Four Seasons Total Landscaping. Never noticing that it was, again, as noted, next to a dildo store for a human dildo. And it's also, by the way, across the street from a crematorium. Thank you for that reminder, Dave, number 11. A crematorium. Yeah. MAGA mock fry, y'all. Jesus. So that at least provided a little bit of relief, a little bit of humor. Jack in Shreveport says, in regard to Moscow Mitch, I was on my way out the door when McConnell came on the air with his floor speech, so I could only hear a few words. Much of it was congratulating Trump for repelling any Russian meddling with the election. Sure he did. And congratulating Congress for bipartisan actions likewise. I think McConnell actually blocked much of the legislation. You're right. That Democrats wanted to enact to secure the state's election mechanisms and records. He said the intelligence was that there was no evidence of meddling. He then went on to call the Democrats hysterical and shameful in calling out Russian meddling. I hope Biden requires those on the other side to cooperate in order to make nice back to them. I wholeheartedly agree with your evaluation of McConnell and what he deserves. He is a traitor to our country. And it is unimaginable how a human being could actually do the damage he has done and is still doing to other human beings and to this country and to this world. Well, that's the problem, Jack. We don't have to imagine it because it's right there before our very eyes and ears. Yeah. Flavio, noting the dildo store, the landscaping shop, and the crematorium, says, that's how fascism in America dies. God, we can hope. We can only hope. Steve in New York noting, you know, the news has never declared a winner until now. Fraud! Yeah, I know. And, how bad is it? Well, his list of gang of petty foggers and ambulance chasers is so screwed up that when they filed a challenge in Michigan, well, the court there, the Michigan Court of Appeals, wrote to the Trump campaign and said, "This office has received your papers in the above-captioned matter. I regret to inform you that your submission is defective because it was not accompanied by the following: a copy of the judgment appealed, a copy of the lower court docket entries, a copy of the transcript or evidence that the transcript has been ordered, and 5 copies of a brief." Yeah, really? honest to God, not even a first-year law student, but somebody who merely hoped to be a lawyer and was studying for the LSATs would have done a better job than this this gang of shady-ass grifters. Two, Mark F. Hearn II. Read, Donald J. Trump for President, Inc. versus Secretary of State, Court of Appeals, number 355378. Lower Court, Court of Claims. Judge, Cynthia Diane Stevens. Unless the above is filed within 21 days of the date of this letter, your case may be dismissed for failure to pursue the case in conformity with the rules. See Michigan Court Rules, yada yada. This is the only notice that will be sent to you. If you have any questions concerning this matter, please call this office. What a gang of fuck-ups. But that's okay. That's okay. They'll find some way to make it more embarrassingly awful. Mm-hmm. Maganini, unemployable. Lee in New York says, of course she's unemployable. Of course she's employable. I'm sure she can ask.
And would you like fries with that?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't trust her to bring an order from the prep table at McDonald's to the counter, because she'd give you a fillet of fish and swear up and down that it was a Big Mac, and then blame the media if you said, "Hey, this is a fillet of fish."
Well, that's, you know, that's how the gotcha media works.
Randy Radar pointing out, Donald Trump has not yet paid the $3 million fee for a recount in Wisconsin. This, according to the Tom Hartman show today, yet the Trump campaign may continue to fundraise off of that issue. I have no doubt. Because the stuff they haven't paid, is a list too long to count. Suman with a question. Disgusted lawsuits? What are the chances of any of these lawsuits succeeding? I think it is safe to assume some of them will go to the Supreme Court. Man, I can't wait to get off this nightmare train. We all can't. And the number of the likelihood of it succeeding, at least in an ordinary, real world, is so slim that if you turn it sideways, it'll disappear. But this is not an ordinary world. The point here is to throw a handful of shit at the wall, and if you can get just one fecal speck to the Supreme Court, then people like Amy Toney's parrot can do what she was put there to do, by Trump's own admission. Interviewed by CNN, 57-year-old maggot Christine Stellabot, no, really, Stellabot, said,
I think this will go to the Supreme Court. I'm not sure how or what state or what avenue, but Trump has very high-powered lawyers, some of the top people in the country, so they will find a way, I'm sure.
Yeah. Some of the top people in the country, like Lawyer Hearn there, who couldn't even put together an appeal record to get a case properly filed. Or then there's this. In Michigan, the Nitwit Nero campaign's lonely single piece of evidence of fraud consisted of a sticky note. No, really. The case that was that has gone up and that they fucked up came from the court of Judge Cynthia Diane Stevens of the First District Court of Appeals. No, this was a different appeal. Okay. According to the Washington Post, in that case, a Republican election observer said she'd been given a sticky note by an unnamed poll worker. I don't know, it was like in an alley or something. They gave it to me. They said they didn't steal it or anything. Alleging that late-arriving ballots were being counted improperly. But she couldn't give the poll worker's name or any other proof that the poll worker, you know, even existed. Just hearsay. Yeah, but we got a sticky note. God almighty. And that's very true. Steve in New York with an observation. I suspect you considered this, but I think Mitch is doing this because he needs to keep the Trumpanzees in the game for the Georgia runoffs. I absolutely think that's true. He's trying to keep the country engaged so that they will give to the Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue campaigns, because the Democrats are beginning to fundraise on it in earnest. That election, by the way, in case you need to mark your calendars or anything, is January the 5th. And to that extent, please remind me to mention that every evening, that the runoff election in Georgia is January the 5th. And we need to put it so far into our democratic, liberal, progressive consciousness that's really, Christmas is December 25th, New Year's Day is January 1st, fuck it, doesn't matter. Runoff election day in Georgia is January 5th. Say it loud and say it often. And hope that the weather is good for early voting and for election day voting in Georgia. Now, the maggots have even gone so far, the maggot campaign and the maggot in chief, have gone so far as to suggest that, and this includes Perdue and Loeffler, they have suggested that the Secretary of State of Georgia should step down. And the Secretary of State of Georgia, in turn, has said, nah, not going to do it. The fools, Perdue and Loeffler, the fools. He hasn't even begun yet to suppress the January 5th vote. And you may rest assured that he will. And the only resistance to that is to mobilize like we have never mobilized before and encourage every Democratic vote in Georgia to make sure that they vote. And in point of fact, the communities of color, particularly the African-American voters in this country, saved our bacon once again a week ago. And so it becomes one of those Henry the Fifth kind of things. Once more unto the breach, dear friends. And if we get massive turnout, we may be able to overcome the chicanery, the skullduggery, the rat fucking, and the malarkey that will come with this runoff election in Georgia. But I have no doubt that that's probably the only damn thing on Moscow Mitch's mind. And by the way, James in Illinois says, on that great day when Mitch McConnell does get desperately ill, don't send his turtle manservant to run after the doctor. Send a slug. Turtles are just too fast. And there's our first cowbell of the evening. Thank you, James. Thank you. And as to those new coronavirus cases I mentioned, Steve in New York says, we essentially went from 9 million to 10 million in just 11 days. And that's what exponential mathematics is all about. And with regard to the coronavirus, a word. I got the news over the weekend that a dear friend of mine, and a friend of this program, for he has been on it, has been diagnosed with COVID-19. And he says he's okay-ish. Says he can't smell or taste anything. Says he hasn't run a fever since last Wednesday. But a maggot at work, who is also now quarantining, gave it to him. And he is actively engaged in the business of trying to survive it. So, my best thoughts, and I know the best thoughts and hopes, and for those in the Horn Family Community Congregation who engage in prayer of some sort, prayers, go out to our dear friend. Hopefully, when he recovers, maybe he'll pop by the program and tell us about it. And, of course, he comes from a place that is ablaze with the Dondemic. In fact, I had been meaning to have a look at the Johns Hopkins map just to see how things are there where he is. I have a feeling it's not going to be good, because that place tends to run on ignorance. Yeah, there we go. The community has 2,963 cases in it and has had 47 deaths. Jesus. And curiously, probably need to note this every day now for a while, we are past the election, and no, it hasn't simply gone away. Because, of course, we being rational folk, we understand that that's not how pandemics work. Not even a little bit. And I know some people quit paying attention to it, but I still check it from time to time. The COVID Act Now map shows not a single state on track to contain COVID-19. Only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 states are at risk of outbreak, and the rest of the country is in active or imminent outbreak. And one of those only at risk of outbreaks states is Florida, where they're reporting 4,000 new cases per day. But then again, it's not like we didn't discuss some of this. And we know that nothing is going to meaningfully change until such time as we can get Nitwit Nero out. Promising news from the pharmaceutical world today. or I should say in the last 24 hours. Clinical trials on tens of thousands of people show a preliminary prevention rate of about 90% for one of the vaccines. I remain skeptical. But that is what is being reported. It comes from Pfizer. At the Washington Post, they report, opinion, I took the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine, it's a miracle for genetic medicine, by Walter Isaacson. This thing is showing some preliminary success, but here's what's particularly interesting and damning about it. Remember when Nitwit Nero said,
and when we get a vaccine, everybody's going to get it yesterday.
Well, now that his ass has been beaten, he frankly doesn't care. To the extent he didn't care before, he cares even less now how many people die from it. Look, that's just who he is. And so as a consequence, if he had been reelected, or if this news had been announced prior to the election, and I suspect that maybe this is why it wasn't, he would have taken credit for having developed it himself. And then said that everybody's going to have it for free, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The vaccine was developed by Pfizer and its partner BioNTech. And Dr. William Gruber, Senior Vice President of Vaccine Clinical Research and Development at Pfizer, said, I tend to be an optimist. I've been in vaccine development for over 35 years, but this is extraordinary, and I think it speaks well not only for the potential of this vaccine, but potentially other vaccines that are out there in development for COVID-19. Okay, good. Shane Crotty, a professor at the Center for Infectious Disease and Vaccine Research at La Jolla Institute for Immunology, said, this result is towards the high end of expectations, greater than 90% of efficacy at preventing disease, with 94 COVID-19 cases to evaluate, is an excellent outcome. It would be good to see more of the data, but those are very convincing numbers. So immediately, the thought is, okay, let's move this thing, let's move this thing into high gear. But now that Nitwit Nero is not the president-elect, then instead is merely quacking merrily along as the lame duck that he is. He doesn't think he is, but he is. There's not quite enough data yet, you know, 94 cases to test on. There were tens of thousands of people in the study group, but there were only 94 cases of COVID-19 to test the vaccine on. It's not quite enough for Pfizer to go to the FDA and say, let's fast-track this bastard. Let's make it and distribute it now. And so the Food and Drug Administration, which again has a maggot mole in it, told manufacturers, including Pfizer, that it wants no less than 2 months of follow-up data from at least half of the volunteers in the study, claiming that the most dangerous side effects from a vaccine happen within 2 months of getting the final injection. And Pfizer says they won't have that data until the third week in November. The other thing Pfizer doesn't know is whether any of their COVID-19 cases required hospitalization or how serious the COVID-19 infections that occurred in the study were. Over at the University of Florida, Natalie Dean told NPR there remain many open questions, like how well the vaccine's working across different age groups, how well it's preventing infection and severe disease. But for the pre-specified primary endpoint of laboratory-confirmed symptomatic disease across the trial population, the numbers look very good. The study is going to continue. It will not be deemed complete until they have recorded a total of 164 cases among all the volunteers. Watch and wait. But I would have been suspicious. I imagine you might have too. Had this come out and Nitwit Nero been able to say,
everybody's going to get it, like, I can't get it. I'm immune forever. But right after all the people who matter get it, everybody else can have it too.
And as Steve points out, it was not part of, and this pissed the maggots off too, the Pfizer vaccine trials were not part of
Operation Warp Speed.
Probably because Pfizer didn't want to have the Nitwit Nero idiots looking over their shoulder. Steve noting it was not part of Trump's dog and pony show. Jeremy in Vermont, and thank you, Jeremy, for getting us started. Thank you very kindly. We have $195 to go, and the first 95 of that will be doubled courtesy of Harold, president and CEO of Sotrus, the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Jeremy says, it's ironic today that Mike Pence came out of hiding and tried to claim the administration created a vaccine to which Pfizer quickly slapped him down and said they had received no funding or partnering with the government for this. And had no part, the government had no part in this vaccine's creation. Right. And then this. Bob! My mother called me Saturday and asked where I was and why I hadn't called her to celebrate Biden winning. I informed my mother that if she did not mind, I was in Georgia state of mind, because Georgia is on my mind, and all progressive minds better be on Georgia over the next few months, because we need to win two elections on January 5th. She did not hear the state of mind part and said, what the hell are you doing down in those dumb states? None of those southern states even accepted the Medicaid expansion. Were the maggots flying their rebel and MAGA flags at half staff? Last year, you went down to Alabama to support that Bob Kincaid guy, and both you and Jeffrey came back sick. Speaking of support, stop giving that guy money. I give you money to help you keep Jeffrey clothed and fed, and then you turn around and give it to this guy?
Mom, we have to support the Bob Kincaid Show at HeadOn.live because we don't have progressive radio anywhere anymore.
Mom continues, is this the guy who escaped Alabama only go up to, of all places, West Virginia? Why didn't he go to a progressive state like California with Billable Rick?
Mom, Bob did not know Billable Rick back then, and by the way, West Virginia did take the expansion, and they are now progressive.
Mom replies, what? West Virginia is now progressive. Well, that looks like progress to me. No, we are not progressive. No. Frankly, I did not contact my mother or anybody else because I'm not sanguine about Biden winning, because the bottom line is if we don't regain control of the Senate, we will have accomplished little in our endeavors to turn this country blue and be more progressive. What's that, Jeffrey? Giraffrey asks.
Joey, do you even know what sanguine means?
Yeah, I tell you what it means. It means you and I are going to Atlanta, Georgia, and just like Sherman, we're going to burn the red right out of the Confederate Senate supply line of Mitch McConnell. Jeffrey replies,
sure, man, that sounds good to me. Hey, wait a minute. I thought this country was supposed to be red, white, and blue.
No, Jeffrey, there's too much red already, and we need to get the red out. Yeah, we need the political equivalent of Visine. This means you and I will not be taking the red eye nor the midnight train to Georgia. Oh, and we do not need any more Moran white people like all those disgusting white women in the suburbs who voted for this orange asshole in greater numbers than 2016. And speaking of white, we don't need any more freaks like Paula White and these so-called Christians who also voted for this heathen heretic who went to a church he never attended and held up a Bible he's never read. I swear, Bob, when Paula White was speaking in tongues, I thought she was saying, Muhammad Atta, Muhammad Atta, you know, the villain of 9/11. What's that, Jeffrey? Jeffrey suggests, Paula White is married to Jonathan Cain, former keyboardist of the band Journey, and now she's a real trip. See what Jeffrey did there? Journey, trip, Oh, all right. Hell, Jeffrey, I think the way that woman was acting like she might have been doing some white lines of cocaine. Hey, Bob, is the request line open? Please play Paula White's Greatest Hits album. Let's don't do that and say we didn't. Sanguine Part 2 tomorrow. This has been Joey's Journal for Moran Monday, the 9th day of November, with Giraffrey not sugarcoating the fact that he's ready to raise some cane in the Peachtree State. Thanks, Joey. Thanks. Trump's Dog and Pony Show. Well, says Lee in New York, that's the closest he's ever gotten to having a pet. Meanwhile, Giraffrey may have a friend. Lee in New York alerting me to something from electoralvote.com. CK in Kalua, Hawaii writes, in one of the more exciting races in our corner of the U.S., Squirt the Giraffe has been named the new mayor-elect of the Honolulu Zoo, beating Rusty the Orangutan in a neck-and-neck race. Ha! Squirt pledged to create a safer environment by protecting animals from poaching, habitat loss, and fragmentation, and by committing to a cleaner, more sustainable environment by promoting renewable energy. He also committed to planting more trees for a yummy browse for everyone. A yummy browse in every... Right. Well, how about that? Giraffrey, have you met Squirt? Squirt, Giraffrey. Now we have enough for bridge. Oh, and hey, thank you very kindly to Libby. Libby jumped in as a subscriber just a moment ago. And that will be doubled, Libby, for the month of November, courtesy of our pal Zed. Thank you very kindly. So, that takes us down to $85 to go. As to the Sochtris challenge for this evening. Thank you very much indeed. Make sure I didn't miss anything. Nope, we're good. Okay, Billable Rick says two cowbells for Joey and Giraffrey. These two statements are classic. Just like Sherman, we're going to burn the red right out of the Confederate Senate supply line of Mitch McConnell. And Jeffrey suggests Paula White is married to Jonathan Cain, former keyboardist of the band Journey, and now she's a real trip. Please, says Billable Rick, no Paula White tunes unless you all also play Pat Boone metal. There will be neither, I can assure you. So that gives us a broad-based Moran start on this Moran Monday. And really, I just can't get over that. I mean, talk about, okay, yeah, dinner's done. Dinner is officially ruined, and so is Joy in Ann Arbor's breakfast. The headline simply reads, Trump is devouring fast food and aides are lighting scented candles to cover up the stench. That according to the Daily Mail, so take it for what it is, but still. God, the smells inside the White House have reportedly become more unpleasant. Yeah. Insiders describe the atmosphere inside the West Wing as manic, exuberant, energized, and toxic. with some staff lighting rose-scented candles in an attempt to soften the environment and to combat the smell of fast food delivered to the president and his inner circle. The article also mentions that he will not attend Biden's inauguration and will instead insist that Biden is a phony president, a fake president. Yeah. What a disgusting imitation of a human being. But low-level staffers at the Maggot House are said to be sending out resumes for all they're worth because they got to have a job. And the one of the upper-level managers has sworn to fire anyone he catches sending out a resume. Because, by God, they're bunkered up. Randy Radar says, careful on the hope feeling, Bob. Well, you know how I feel about hope. Hope in one hand and in the other and see which one fills up first. You can't trust these companies to self-report. I agree. Oh, let's see here. Bob says, Les, your imprecatory prayer on turtle is not complete without the "in the name of Jeebus." Please do that again with the proper ending so that it may be answered. I can't do that again. It's not like I write this stuff down, but in the name of Jesus, sure. And Les, while we're at it, I'd be interested to know your take on this. Did you see the news? Did you see the news that maggot independent truck drivers say they're going to have a strike? Oh, I found out about it earlier this morning. They got 20,000 people joined up in a Facebook group. And they're going to have a strike, and it's going to be for a day or two just to let America know how bad off we'd be without the maggot truck drivers. And our pal Jerry in Arizona pointed out that something around 2% of American truck drivers are unionized. I know one of those 2% is not 1% of the 2%, but one person in that 2% is, of course, our dear friend Rick Smith. But that's true. And this is the maggot mind at work. We don't own our own trucks. And somebody else pays us to haul shit. But we're going to quit our jobs. And we ain't got no union. And we ain't got no strike fund. But we're going to teach America that we're going to keep Donald Trump no matter what. America says, because, you know, the majority of America says they don't want Donald Trump no more. It's not like they're white or anything. Yeah, really. And there's babblings on there about, I think it should be a 30-day strike. you do that, maggots. You do that. You'll be out of a job so fast that you won't. You'll be starving to death before the pink slip hits. Jesus, these people are morons. Thanks, Kitty. Kitty in Boston says, just kicked $10 into PayPal. Forgot to sign my note. Well, hopefully it'll, let me see if it showed up, Kitty. Why, there you are. Thank you very kindly. Hugs and high fives to the Horn family. I'm waiting to pop the champagne until after the Trump virus has been fumigated from the White House in January. I understand completely. So, Jeremy jumped in with another 5. 90. 80. So we're down to $70 to go to complete the Sostris challenge. Thank you, Kitty, for helping out with that. Thank you very kindly indeed. And after that, we've only got another $100 to go. So thank you kindly. Yes. Oh, let's see. There. And, oh, by the way, thank you very kindly to Mariano, and thank you to Brandon and Fennell. They are U.S. Postal Service subscribers. Thank you very kindly. I'm sorry I forgot to mention you earlier. It's an excuse, but I think it's a legitimate one. I was kind of gobsmacked by the McConnell story. Not that I should have been. I should have been waiting for it. I'm surprised it didn't happen before now. But thank you, Mariano, and thank you, Brandon and Fennell. Scenting the White House, Lee in New York asks, just curious, no one's using pumpkin spice? Oh, dear God, I saw pumpkin pie ice cream in the grocery store, and I almost ran screaming out of the building, but I managed to hold off. And by the way, Arnold, who would know, Arnold in PA, says 20,000 trucks ain't shit. Besides that, all company drivers will be barred from striking as they will lose their job contracts and so forth. Too bad they're not striking for good reason. Let me see here. Arnold wants me to send along the link. Just a second. There you are. It's on the way, Arnold. Okay. Oh, you're welcome, Arnold. enjoy it in good health. I mean, if I've gotten any part of that wrong, I'd like to know about it. Just, you know, because it struck me as just maggots being, you know, maggots. Stand by. And so, here at the halfway point of the program, let's run over and check in with Todd. How you holding up, Todd?
Excuse me. I'm good. I was wondering, you know, what's your mood like? How are you feeling?
Well, you know, I just had an email from Flavio saying, so you're not worried about faithless electors. Got it. I hope you're right. I hope the legislatures in Michigan and Pennsylvania don't send faithless electors to the Electoral College. I could sit around worrying about that, but it's going to be one hot mess if they do that. And I can't imagine it working.
Well, you remember I knew I brought it up, you know, because this works in conjunction with the compact, interstate compact, in a way. But I mean, it's constitutional. That's their scheme. You see, that's the whole scheme. So it would have to go to the Supreme Court, maybe.
Well, getting something into the Supreme Court would of course play into their game. I understand that completely. But for instance, in PA, let me see if I can get this audio up so we can hear it in the individual's own words. In PA, the maggots are behaving, well, as maggots will, vilely and reprehensibly. Al Schmidt is a city commissioner in the city of Philadelphia. And he's not just a city commissioner. He's a Republican. And he spoke to 60 Minutes.
Republican Commissioner Schmidt, his fellow election board members, and about 200 city employees are continuing to work. They'll be counting provisional ballots for at least another week.
From the inside looking out, it feels all very deranged.
Again, deranged.
At the end of the day, we are counting eligible votes cast by voters. The controversy surrounding it is something I don't understand. It's people making accusations that we wouldn't count those votes, or people are adding fraudulent votes, or just coming up with just all sorts of crazy stuff.
Accusations like you are cheating.
Yes.
You are manipulating the vote.
Yes. Or calls to our offices reminding us that this is what the Second Amendment is for. People like us.
You're getting calls like that?
Yes.
That's a not-so-veiled death threat.
Yes. For counting votes in a democracy.
Well, that's a little chilling, isn't it?
Yeah. You know what? I hope everyone has heard that, because it's really frightening. This guy is just like a lot of other people. You know, you're a bureaucrat. You go to work. You do your job. You don't let your politics bleed into what you're doing. But this is serendipity, because somebody else brought up white women and cocaine. And I was trying to be funny when I thought about this, but it's actually not funny. I used to say this country runs on Budweiser. But this country runs on moonshine, white women, and cocaine. And I'm not being funny anymore. And I can link all of these things together.
Well, that sounds like a pretty toxic combination, if you ask me.
Well, it keeps the maggots going. And remember, we've always had the maggots. Now, I've given this quite a bit of thought and written about it. Now, you're a student of history, and I'll have to give credit to Dr. O'Brien, and I often refer to that Halper offering he did, this author named Halper, who explained how the plantation South worked and what the power structure was. And, you know,
let me just interrupt for a minute. Did you happen to catch him today?
No. And I tried every time. I don't know what was going on. I had to go out every time I thought I had it. And somebody called me. I had to go somewhere, because I sure as hell was trying to catch him. Cause I know he's on fire. No, but I have to look to it.
Well, the podcast is up if you want to download it. And this is it was a good day today. He and I had a lovely conversation, but the thing that grabbed me, Todd, and this may be the most profound example of the horn being out in front of the curve that I have ever experienced, and and to Dr. Bill goes all the credit. Did you happen to catch the Filthy Morning Habit today?
Yes.
Did you catch the Yale scholar in the final half hour, Thomas Ricks, who wrote a book called First Principles and was sitting there opining about how, and apparently the book is about how the founders and framers viewed ancient Greece and ancient Rome. And so my pink little ears perked right up. It was, it struck me as extremely the work of the goddess of irony that Dr. Bill and this professor from Yale look like twin sons of different mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both making the same argument. The only difference is that Dr. Bill's been making it for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And only now, and this book has just come out, I guess, in the summer. I'm going to get my hands on it and read it. But there he was, Todd. I mean, I was just sitting there with my little mouth hanging open, catching flies.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. O'Brien's been laying this case out little by little, the whole picture, the big, like, in other words, little pieces of the puzzle that make up this larger picture of where, how we got to where we are now.
And lo and behold, the very topic that he started edumacating Joe Scarborough on, which I'm sure was entirely new to Joe, was that material possessions do not make for happiness. And started talking about why Jefferson chose the word pursuit of happiness instead of the Locke phrase from the late 17th, early 18th century, pursuit of property. And started talking about how that the idea of happiness stems from the idea of a community that is functional, not dysfunctional. Does that make sense?
Is that versus pursuit of happiness, as in make as much wealth as you can, no matter what?
Exactly, and own as much crap as you can.
Right. Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. That. Yeah. Well. Right. And see, that's why I brought up Halper. I mean, the United States is one big plantation, and the overseer class has no one left to oversee. They don't have anybody to look down on anymore, unless they lie and make up shit, and they're feeling very uncomfortable. Cause, and I'm not trying to cut you off, but all this is related. You know, remember, you remember the first time you heard the word rabble, probably in, I don't know, junior high.
Rabble rousing.
You know, Shays Rebellion. These are these folks. It's the same people. These are the same people. They don't like science. They want to be left alone. They got pitchforks. They drink liquor and shoot guns. Not too interested in being told what to do. You know, don't get in the way of my corn liquor. Then bourbon, because it's the same thing, just in charred barrel. And this is why they cannot lie anymore. This is about the great white hope being dethroned, and they don't like it, and it's too bad.
Well, the other thing that grabbed me, Todd, was that bells haven't rung in European capitals like that since what, May 1945?
Yes.
Europe responded to the defeat of Donald Trump the same way they did to the demise of Hitler, and that's just a fact.
I had that written down right here. I have a small piece of paper just with some thoughts because, you know, I'm tangent man. And that is second on the list behind plantation. The Russians have won because the maggots don't even understand that they think that we are respected around the world. This is why the Russians won. They don't even know they've been duped. They think that we're respected. These people, everyone around the world is breathing a sigh of relief. And guess what? That stock market is not up because of a flash-in-the-pan vaccine. Don't get me started on that. It's because now we have stable leadership, someone who is not in...
Or we have a hope. We have a hope of it, yes.
A hope, yeah. See, that's so pathetic. Okay, right. So we're on the same page. We're on the same page. So please continue with the comparison, compare and contrast.
It really kind of ends there. But the world responded to Trump's defeat the same way it did in May and August of 1945. There was a jubilant celebration when the news broke that Hitler had blown his brains out, and then there was another jubilant celebration when the news broke that the Empire of Japan had surrendered to the Allies. And there haven't been moments. I mean, I don't think French bells rang at the end of the Algerian conflict.
No, nobody cared.
I don't think Did they ring bells in London after the Falklands War?
No, they wanted to get it over with and forget about it.
No bells rang when. Well, maybe they did in Ho Chi Minh City, and but no bells rang here when we left Vietnam. This was it struck me that it was a seminal moment, and it balanced against what didn't happen here in almost level West by God Trump Jinyistan.
Right. And now we're stuck with the fact that about half of our population is rabble. They're rabble. And it's hard to change human behavior. That's one of the toughest endeavors that a human being can engage in. And congratulations, because that goes, you know, extinguishing the behavior is a big deal. You know, it's hard. Right, but see, this is what I'm saying. The MAGAs don't get it. They're not going to change. They're there. These are our neighbors, our friends. They just have a different mindset. And I heard you a few days ago intimate, you know, this is like a group delusion, psychosis, and Dr. Bandy Lee has in one of her latest offerings that touched on that. But you see, people are feeling out of sorts, and that's why it's so interesting what Dave Chappelle said the other night, because he took the personality out of it. He's like, pain, and it's true, pain is real. Everyone's pain is real. It's all relative. And people are in pain because they're embracing a value system, a belief system that was destined to fail in the first place. So what do you expect? But, you know, you can't tell them that. They don't get it. But this is what I'm concerned about. And this is why there was a duty to warn. This motherfucker is going to tear up as much physically and structurally as much as he can before he's asked to leave. I mean, and speaking of the stench, seems to me people were saying that he wears protective undergarments.
We have seen evidence that he probably does.
So if he's in a depressed state of mind, maybe he doesn't want to change his diapers. And so he's just sitting around and consuming and
well, it's his state of mind is interesting because the Washington Post had an article today or an opinion piece by Ruth Ben-Ghiat.
Mm-hmm.
Who wrote, "Nothing prepares the ruler to see his propaganda ignored and his charismatic hold weaken until his own people turn against him. Loss of power looms as a kind of psychological annihilation, even as it also often evokes practical concerns about the end of immunity from prosecution for them and their families."
Ooh.
It's not surprising that most authoritarians leave office involuntarily. The brutality and the arrogance that allow them to seize power leaves them ill-equipped to handle the downward arc of leadership. They experience decreasing popularity as a personal betrayal and often abandon their people, blaming them for the messes they themselves have caused. I saw that earlier today at the Washington Post.
Well,
and it's him in a nutshell.
Right. And I know I noticed that it crossed your mind because it's been all the news, like you said, back to the ringing of the bells across the world, you know, in our most favored ally, France, our oldest ally. I mean, we wouldn't have succeeded in the Revolutionary War without them. But to see, I'm going to say it, for the president to see people dancing in the street and this just collective well-being and people happy because his ass is out. That is the worst thing you could possibly do to him, the way he's, you know, the way his psyche is set up, is for him to be not lauded. You know, he always feels he's being slighted anyway. And when that happens, he's losing his shit. This is very, they need to get him out now. Now, I mean, seriously, I'm not being funny now. He needs to be in a family member's basement under supervision, you know, like give him a laptop, partition it, put the password on it so you can, you know, do the child lock thing so he can only look at PBS and maybe some very benign news sites. He's a dangerous, wounded animal right now. And we won't
But it's, at some point, Todd, reality has to catch up with him. Because reality will not be denied. And what I mean by that is that I know he has terrible lawyers. And I know I know most of them are the sort of terrible lawyer who will sit there and you see a lawyer sign and it says, you know, Elmer J. Fudd, attorney and counselor at law. Well, the attorney part means that you are qualified within the rules of that jurisdiction in that state or that state to stand in the stead of another person for legal purposes. Because one of the things that most people don't understand is that anybody can be an attorney. There's lots of people out there that are attorneys that don't even necessarily think much about it. If, for instance, you have an elderly parent in some sort of long-term care, you may have what is called a durable power of attorney so that you can make financial decisions for him. And that is that is referred to as being an attorney in fact, as opposed to an attorney at law. If you hold medical power of attorney for someone, you are an attorney in fact. You can deal with factual things. But you have to be you have to be accepted and licensed by an individual or multiple jurisdictions in order to be an attorney at law. But that sign, attorney and counselor at law, means that yes, you do legal stuff. But before you ever get into the courtroom, you also counsel. You tell people what their legal options are, what their duties are, what their rights and responsibilities are, what the potential consequences of their acts will be.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone representing COVID Caligula seems to eschew that counselor at law part. They just tell him what he wants to hear, and that's the way he's worked for ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because what he, you know, what he's done is he calls Roy Cohn and he says, "I want to sue the government because they say Dad and me are racists." And Roy Cohn, instead of saying, "Listen, I mean, I'll take the money, but you know, it's gonna be a lot cheaper for you if you just sign the consent decree, and we're probably gonna lose anyway. And you'll be exactly where you were with the consent decree. You will have just paid me a shit ton of money to get you there.
So just save your money.
So save your money, sign the consent decree. That's what being a counselor at law is about.
Right.
Somebody at some point.
Hurt.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. But they're not, you're not paying a lawyer to make you feel good about yourself. That's what a shrink's for.
But he doesn't like the truth.
No, he doesn't. And he, you know, we've seen at Trump University.
Yeah, I'll never settle. I'll never settle.
And then they settle.
Beat him in court.
And then he gets beaten like a barred mule. And so nobody, I hesitate to say I hope, but I hesitate to say I hope, because in the long run, I would very much like to see him with his, at 12:01 January 20th, 2021, I'd like to see a couple of FBI agents walk up and slap the bracelets on him, because at 12:40 and 45 seconds, indictments were unsealed in the Southern District of New York. You know, the ones where he's individual one. And where there's already sworn testimony as to his illegal behavior.
And that's just getting started.
I'd like to see that happen. I really want to see that the 74-year-old nasty-ass bag of sin and insecurity, perp walked away from somewhere.
Well, someone told me that you think he's going to eat himself to death in the White House.
Well, I mean, that's what the Daily Mail's reporting. He's living on fast food, and the stench is unbearable, they say. But in the long run, from the lawyer standpoint, you would think, and what this boils down to is there is no Howard Baker. Howard Baker was the Republican senator from Tennessee who, being a statesman, went to Richard Nixon and said, "Dick, party's over. You're going to get impeached. And we don't have the votes to keep you from getting removed from office in the Senate, Dick. So the smart money is you have a nice conversation with your brand new, shiny Vice President Gerald Ford there, and then you quit."
Mm-hmm.
And Nixon took that advice, but nobody is saying that to Nitwit Nero, when in fact Nitwit Nero has far more criminal exposure and liability than Nixon ever could have dreamed of having.
Bob, you're making a brilliant case. He should be using his time right now to get the right counsel, because he's lost. He's going to have to face these charges, because Letitia James is not messing around.
Well, but and see, other, that's other, the problem, and right there is the problem, because you can pardon Trump for a presidential pardon is good as to all federal charges, and up until the pardon of Richard Nixon, no one had ever been blanket pardoned. Really, the ultimate American get out of jail free card. Nobody had ever said you're pardoned for anything you might have done or might yet be determined to have done. And America looked at that and went, well, that certainly seems kind of shady. But we were so eager to be rid of Nixon that it was a price that the nation was willing to pay just to have done with his crooked old soul. But the thing is, nobody was coming after Nixon at a state level, because a presidential pardon does not address state charges. The president does not have the power to pardon people for state crimes.
The Southern District of New York, they have more. It's a whole book on that.
Southern District of New York is the federal government. Letitia James and Cyrus Vance Jr., on the other hand, are state level.
Right.
But
Thank you for correcting me. And
that's where the hang-up lies. Mm-hmm. That's why, among other things, he is now a citizen of the sovereign state of Florida, having given up his New York citizenship, so that if he goes to Mar-a-Lago to live, that they'll at least have to extradite him on any New York felonies. And he's counting on the Republican court system of Florida to stop that, as if Florida was some sort of banana dictatorship with which we do not have an extradition agreement.
Well, two things. Number one, speaking of irony, you know, when he started calling the countries where the leaders wear khaki suits with the houppelettes or alpelettes, however you pronounce it.
I like houppelettes myself, but...
Okay. So we know what those are, the shoulder medallion.
Well, yeah, the little scrub brushes on a dictator's shoulders.
Right. So the shithole countries, which is exactly how he's behaving, and the MAGAs don't even see that. It's just fucking astounding. It's absolutely astounding. I halfway lost my train of thought. But the other part... these charges that he has to face, I don't see any way around that. Oh, you talked about extraditing. I knew it would come back to me. Now, I seem to remember his last round when he was barnstorming, when he was shedding COVID over everyone because he's such a benevolent character. If you remember, he kept saying at each stop, if you guys don't vote for me, I won't come back. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
See, I don't doubt that he'll flee.
Well, but the thing is, it's like Stephen New York pointed out at the beginning of the program when I was talking about Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is doing what he does to keep the door open for Trump to go down and campaign for Loeffler and Perdue in Georgia. So even though he said,
you know, if you don't elect me, I won't come back.
Well, he's had his ass beat in Florida or in Georgia. And he's going to go back and they're going to hold super spreader rallies.
The Americans don't care. They want to see him. That's definitely going to help them.
Oh, he provides meaning to their otherwise meaningless lives.
Right.
But and it's interesting. You mentioned tin pot dictators. I found it interesting that over the weekend I saw a story that Jair Bolsonaro.
Mm-hmm.
The fascist punk in Brazil has said he's ready to move on and he'll deal with whoever the president is because, and this is the fun part. I'm looking for it here. There it is. Jair Bolsonaro has declared of Trump, he's not the most important man in the world. So, you know, tin pot dictators do not stick together. You may recall that that little Austrian was more than really, really wanted to be free of Benito Mussolini. And bailed him out at the last moment, but couldn't even make that stick.
It is true.
And so here's the publication Estado in Brazil saying, Trump's not the most important person in the world. The most important person is God. Humility must be present among us. You know, as he continues with his genocide of Amazonian indigenous people. Brazil's moment is still difficult. We are watching foreign policy. We have our preferences, and what happens outside matters for each of us inside. But he's ready to cut Trump loose.
Yeah, he threw him under the bus.
So I thought that rather telling. But nobody, to get back to the point, though, nobody is telling him, it seems, what his nobody is offering him counsel at law. They're all licking his boots, and the only person he's listening to, well, only people, are folks like Rudy Giuliani. Ah, we got this, Mr. President. Hey, we got a sticky note in Michigan.
Well, I think he could be punked. He's being punked by some people because, I mean, they know it's over. The folks who work, you know, 3 degrees away, 4 degrees away, they work there, but they know it's over because there is no way that you would send the presidential entourage to that part of Tacony. Now, I know that, that area, is, like I said, it's industrial. You know what used to be there? Tacony, if you remember, Diston Saws. Okay, that was a big saw brand.
Yeah.
Saw blade. Right. Well, that whole neighborhood started from that factory. I mean, they built that whole neighborhood. It's real ethnic, like Irish and Polish, and still like that.
Well, I was heard it was. I read that it was a little sketchy.
It is sketchy. That's why they have sex clubs. I mean, that's where S&M sex clubs are, and there's all kinds of, you know, shady stuff going on. It's
that explains sending Rudy to right. And after all, there was a next door dildo store.
Right, you don't want to be around there. You don't want to be around there, period. But not at night. And you know, so when the factory's closed, you know, it's just that's heroin central. I mean, just all you know, just bad, you know, pathologies. It's not a good area. It's hard scrabble. And that you got the Tacony Palmyra Bridge that'll take you right over to Jersey. But you know, that was just strange. But he did, yes, and this is a disservice to us because we have to deal, we have to deal with this until January. And what about our state secrets? See, Moscow Mitch, we already know that there is a number of people in the Senate and the House who, are sympathizing with this Russia thing. I mean, they were in Russia during the 4th of July holiday. Instead of being home barbecuing and drinking Budweiser, they were drinking Stoli and cavorting with who knows what. So, I'm just a little concerned. This is we're very vulnerable right now. This is insane. He just needs to pack his shit and get the fuck out now.
Well, that's oddly enough, that's exactly what, concede and get the hell out.
Where did that come from?
Common Dreams with the report. Stephen King, The Stand. You lost, you miserable, self-entitled, infantile fucker. Concede and get the hell out.
Get the hell out. Well, Philadelphia is happy again. And it was just nice to see. Nice to see. We took us over
right,
the line.
Because the protesters there, the ones sending death threats to that commissioner whose audio we played. Yeah, the people who are doing that aren't from Philadelphia, I suspect.
Oh, no.
Those are what used to be referred to as outside agitators.
Till it was too close to home.
Yeah.
Till it was too close to home. We have so much work to do. I think that we're all, everyone, every conscious citizen. We had some of us already do things in the community, but we're all going to have to do a little bit more to get this ship that we call our country right, because we're grounded now. The ship is beached and it's on its side, and we have to build a rail and slide it into the ocean and make sure it floats straight. It's going to be a lot of work. That's what I'm concerned about. Oh, right. And you probably have other people. This is like the first weekday since the announcement. But, so Georgia, when I was talking over you, I got excited because it's unfair, but that's just the system. I say all the money, international, national, as much money as possible, flood into this Georgia race because that our whole country really depends on the control of the Senate right now. This is the brass ring. Like, we got the presidency, but this is the shit. We have to have this, and it's possible. So. You know what I mean? I want Bloomberg to put the rest of his money into this. He can do it.
I don't care who gives the money.
Yeah,
it's not like he's going to wind up eating beans out of it. But we need a bunch of money into Georgia. Money like we've never dreamed of before.
No,
you're not. Because here's the bottom line. The term that John Ossoff and Kelly Loeffler are running for is an unexpired term that will be up in, I think, 2022. But the seat that John Ossoff is running against incumbent David Perdue for is through 2026. And what that boils down to is Joe Biden is going to have 2 years to get his agenda moving. And we looked at the 2022 Senate map, and it doesn't look any more inspiring than 2020 looked, but 2020 didn't play out the way we wanted to. And the maggots are out there hollering, stop the steal. I know what Mitch McConnell did to stop attempts to provide election integrity. And I'm not entirely satisfied with how the hell did Susan Collins get reelected? I mean, are the people of Maine? Are the people of Maine really that bad? And South Carolina had to move in and invalidate mail-in ballots, absentee ballots, over signature issues that weren't settled throughout the election, and then just threw them out at the last minute. And I'll guarantee, if you do a statistical analysis of it, you'll find out whose ballots got thrown out. And I bet you Greg Palast is already working on that.
Yep. Yeah, Jamie Harrison.
Yeah.
There was a lot of split ticket voting here. And right, I found that highly suspicious also. But you see, this crooked legislature in this state, the election was in play and they were still changing the rules.
Right. I mean, you know this firsthand.
That's never good.
Did you vote in person or did you vote by mail?
I voted absentee I walked it through. But it's complicated. See, because they were changing the rules. I get out of the car. I finally got my ballot. Number one, it took 3 weeks to get here because it was postmarked when it left the voter registration. It took 3 weeks to get to my mailbox. So at that point, I was just ready to vote in person because I was like, it's too late. So I get the ballot, and I had been scoping out the voting area because it's in an arena here, and it's wide open. You know, it's safe. It's hot, real high ceilings and. No, you know, when I voted last cycle in June, I was the only one in there. So I was feeling pretty confident. I said, you know what? I just want to walk this through. I just want to vote now. They said, well, you can, but now that you have a ballot, what happened is that you can lie, but I didn't want to lie. They saw the ballot in my hand and said, you're going to have to go back to voter registration, submit your ballot. Then you have to wait 2 days, maybe three, till they clear it out of the system, and then you can go vote in person. So I said, well, you know what? That's just too much trouble. So since I was right there in line, I gave it to the worker behind the counter, and they run it through. This is how it gets weird. They know that.
So do you even know if your vote was counted, Todd?
No, and there's no curing here, which that's a new term on that word I love. There's no curing here, C-U-R-I-N-G, which means that they don't let you know if there's some abnormality in your ballot. They just toss it. So this whole week,
Todd, he talks lame, funny accents, and, you know, he didn't need to vote nohow.
Right. Yep. But I don't know. Who knows? That's what I'm saying. Who knows? But Harrison, I'm telling you, people like in Columbia, in the capital, there's a nice suburb just outside of downtown called Forest Acres. And it's a nice little, you know, it's just over the line. It's like Cheltenham to Philadelphia. All you do is cross the line and you know, you're in a whole different area. And, there were just vast amounts of Harrison signs, but people were splitting the ticket. People are sick of this guy. He has changed. Ed Lindsey Graham. He's not, there's something sketchy happened, but you know, who knows now? Maybe not. You know, there is something to this moonshine, white women, and cocaine. Because white women know their status in society depends on the strength of their counterpart. You know, if you don't believe in marrying or having relationships across race, which a lot of people still don't. See, this is complicated. This is America. You know,
and I need to see more breakouts. That 56% of white women, I'd be curious to see how that breaks college versus non-college, married versus single, and mm-hmm. and an age breakout. Because if 56% of white women under the age of 30 were voting Trump, it's a different story as opposed to 56% of, you know, women 60 and up.
I agree.
Yeah, but, you know, going back to why, you know, the Congress that will be in between January 2021 and January 2023, you know, that little 2-year window, those are the windows where if the president has both houses of Congress, a president can actually get things done. Classic examples are Lincoln with the Congress in 1861 to 1863. FDR with his Congress, 1933 to basically 1935, and then continuing because America wasn't about to let Republicans have power again. Well, in 2022, the Senate map has 13 Democrats up for re-election in Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, Connecticut, and Maryland. On the other hand, the Republicans have re-elections in Idaho and Utah, so those are safe. Kansas, Oklahoma, probably. North and South Dakota, probably. Iowa, Wisconsin, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Indiana, Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania. That's why Pat
Toomey. That's 93%. That's 92%. They got that in a lot. That's 92% chance they got that in a lot.
They might have. They'll have to. They probably have to fight for it in North Carolina. That's going to be the guy who's not Lindsey there in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. It's going to be Marco Rubio in Florida. Richard Shelby, who remains to this day a traitor. He started out life as a Democrat and then saw which way the wind was blowing and promptly became a Republican. But that's going to be Rand Paul and that thing on his head in Kentucky. And please, Charles Booker, start your campaign now. Ohio is going to be Mike DeWine. The reason Pat Toomey has said anything about the integrity of the count in Pennsylvania is because of 2022. I'm not sure who's up in Arkansas. Missouri is going to be Roy Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be Ron Johnson in Wisconsin. He may be vulnerable, so there may be a couple. There may be a couple or three to be picked up there. Maybe four.
Mm.
And so they're gonna have to. I don't look to us being vulnerable in Washington, Oregon, California, Nevada, maybe Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're vulnerable in particularly vulnerable in Colorado, not Illinois. I'm not sure if that's Schumer or Gillibrand up in New York. New Hampshire is whoever isn't Jean Shaheen because she just won re-election. But the bottom line is that whatever's going to get done has to get done in the first 2 years of Biden's term. One, two. If you're gonna get anything done in a Congress, and this just comes from having watched it in action for a lot of years, in any given Congress, the work gets done in the first session. Every Congress is divided into every Congress is 2 years long.
Right.
And every Congress consists of two sessions. And all the work that is meaningful at all gets done in the first session. Because the second session gets turned, the media turn the second session into the usual horse race politics.
Well, that's one reason we learn what not to do. I know Obama was scared of his black shadow, but you see, I don't think he understood what he was up against, and he should have just gone like gangbusters because he only had about a year and a half. He didn't have a full 2 years because of recesses and this and that. You know what I mean? And maybe we could have gotten more done, but he was trying to be too nice.
Well, and he didn't have the time. Realistically, he didn't have the time he needed because back when we were still operating on everything needs a 60 vote majority, he didn't get his 60th vote until late August, I think, of 2009. And that was when Al Franken was certified the winner in Minnesota.
Right. So that's a whole lot of lost time there. Yeah, so really he only had a few, you know, a handful. And then after that, there was interim.
And by that time, the Bush economic collapse was in full swing. So that, you know, that was the time period when people like Ben Nelson of Nebraska and Mary Landrieu of Louisiana were standing up and saying, well, we can't be letting everybody unionize right now. America's in a recession. As if expanding union membership would make a recession worse, which it demonstrably untrue.
Hey, you have a right to work.
For less.
So, I mean, this is what I'm saying. I feel, and this is bittersweet. It's bittersweet. You know, we always get this mess. We always get this pile of shit to deal with. And by the time we pick out the pieces from the shit, the salvageable things, and rinse them off and disinfect them, there's not enough time to do anything.
And for anybody who thinks that there aren't going to be shenanigans coming up on in advance of January 5th in Georgia, Greg Palast just released a little piece of information, and Jude sent it to me, and so did Ralphs. Quote, "It is unfortunate that the ACLU hired Greg Palast, a known Stacey Abrams shill." And that was spoken by the spokes creep for the Republican Secretary of State of Georgia.
Greg does high quality investigative work, and that's all there is to it. When he puts something out, you can bank on it. He has done the research.
Yeah. And he adds, what angers and worries them is that the ACLU, Black Voters Matter, and yes, Stacey Abrams' nonpartisan organization, Fair Fight, simply made our investigative findings public and returned thousands of victim voters to the rolls. The Republicans are panicked. They lost the state for Trump, and now they could lose control of the U.S. Senate in the upcoming January 5th runoffs between Perdue and Ossoff and between Reverend Warnock and Kelly Attila the Hun Loeffler.
Hmm. Is she the QAnon person? Which one of these women is in the QAnon?
Oh, no. That's I can't remember her name. No, that's in the House of Representatives. Kelly Loeffler is the woman who was insider trading for all she was worth when word of the little pissant shutdown that we had came along. She got a briefing before anybody else did, the Senate did, and she and Perdue both started dumping stock and buying stock for all they were worth.
Oh, that's right, that crook. Okay, so we right, okay. Well, you know what? This is what America wants. We get what we deserve, and you know, honestly, and I look, I'm not trying to be funny. Here, I try to be funny sometimes. Most of the time, I try to be stupid and funny and silly. But I'm thinking now, I don't know that we should have the right to vote anymore. We just, collectively, we're just not bright enough. We don't have it together. Because there are too many uninformed and inquisitive people that are muddying up the process. So I'm willing to forego my vote. You know, I just vote for my legislators, and they can vote for senators, and the senators can vote for president. But that's where the caveat that Citizens United would have to go, because otherwise it won't work. There'll be too much corruption at the top. But, yeah, we're not qualified to vote anymore. That's done.
Don't say that. What we need to do, what we need to do, is make an effort to educate people on the workings of the government, and do so somehow or another without the propaganda of outfits like the Federalist Society and the Cato Institute and the Heritage Foundation, and all of those other anti-American outfits.
Well, Mr. Kincaid, I have in my hand, ready for the garbage tomorrow, a mailer from Lindsey Graham. Keep up the momentum. Vote straight Republican this election. Confirming over 200 conservative...
Well, how in the world are you going to vote for Lindsey Graham and vote straight Republican at the same time?
Well, they don't tell you that part.
Now, wait a minute,
He does tell you that.
Wait. Hold on. You're just tough tonight. That was funny.
I'm serious. I'm reading this shit in my
head. I know, but we got to lighten the moment. How do you vote straight Republican and still vote for Lindsey Graham?
Yes, that's hilarious. Well, of course he's not a Republican.
God damn it, I'm giving myself a cowbell for that.
That was highly vigorous.
Yes, because it was a great line. You set it up. Man, you alley-ooped it up above the hoop, and I just ran in and jumped up and jammed it through.
Tough crowd. I'm stepping on your moment. No, everybody was in the stand. Your girlfriend was watching, and she's one of the cheerleading squad, and she saw you do that slam dunk. I'm sorry.
You're usually better than that.
I know.
My faith is restored. Arnold in PA just said, you really got to get a cowbell for the Lindsey Graham joke. That was fucking funny. Thank you, Arnold. Thank you.
Well, Arnold knows. So we have to see what happens tomorrow with the Supreme Court. I mean, it's not going to be tomorrow.
It'll be interesting to check in on the arguments to see if Amy Tony's parrot even asks any questions, or I guess we should put more particularly to see if Justice Handmaid is allowed by her master or masters to ask any questions, because you know. She's a real serious Christian, and it says right there in the book that women are to keep their fucking mouth shut, and if they got any questions, ask their husband when they get home.
Okay. So is that philosophy, that cult, that philosophy, that belief system that she engages in? Do you think that has something to do with the lightness of her voice?
No, I don't know.
It's very subservient. It's very subservient.
Oh, no, that, right. And that was the voice she used in the Senate. Now, I'm betting if one of her spawn fucks up, you don't get that little Tinkerbell voice. You get the voice of, Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
Look here, you little black Haitian bitch. You better do what I tell you. You mean that?
We brought you out of Haiti. We can send you right back.
Wait a minute. That's a cowbell. That's
I didn't feel so cowbell about that one, but I mean,
But, come on, man. You know she's thinking it. I don't know what's wrong with these people.
I've still got the receipt on your ass. I'll take you back.
Oh, my God. You know we're in charge. Oh, man. Well,
But, they do broadcast the audio of the proceedings, so you can check it out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. C-SPAN does that. They'll have the arguments.
Oh, and my faith is further restored because Steve in New York said, yo, Todd, take a breath. That was awesome on the, how are you going to vote straight Republican and vote for Lindsey at the same time?
It was. But, honestly, I was just mesmerized by it. That was the first time I turned over that mailer and looked at the other side as you were talking. I kind of got lost in what I was looking at. No, it was brilliant. I mean, I heard it. I processed it. I just didn't laugh.
And now other people are getting in on the act. Randy Radar says, jammed it through, Bob. Don't say that when Lindsay's around.
He's got a lot of pull, I tell you. Something shady happened. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot going on. Oh, and this is, I don't know, this is just parlor talk. This is, you know, speculation. But I think that they had, the administration had planned on fiddling with the electronics, you know, once the votes get tallied up. But because of the mail-in and absentee ballots, you know, it was kind of harder to do that. Because that's why Trump was telling everybody to show up at the polls.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, we just have to make the best of what we have here. And there's a lot of angry people. Oh, and I didn't tell you, I think it happened like before last time we talked. I didn't bring it up, but I'm the first one in history to be cursed out where I work. This guy came in, and I mean, he stomped through the door, and I was at the scanning machine because we had these new Scantron 3000s, which like you could put microfilm in, and it's just amazing. It's a powerful gaming computer it's hooked up to. So you put your reels in, it takes everything, a reel, flat, any type of film just about. And it's got super high definition. So a lot of times I spend hours looking at old conveyances, you know, like when people pass property in like 1760 from, you know, grantee, grantor, that type of thing. And you see plats of land, see what people were doing, what they were up to. So anyway, you come stomping through the door because I'm not behind the desk at that point. I'm out where the machines are. And he has his satchel in his hand. And he says it just like this. You want this? I said, I don't know what it is, but you have to wear a mask in here. It's the law. Do you want this or not? I said, I don't know what it is, but you really have to put a mask on. And you're a little bit loud. I don't want to wear a mask, goddammit. I'm going to throw this. Just take it. Do you want this or not? I said, well, you have to put a mask on. I can't even look at it before you put a mask on. Fuck you. I ain't putting no goddamn mask on. And he stomps out. It's a big guy. He's got like a goatee and a mullet.
That's always a lovely combination.
Yeah, you know, and blonde. You know, he had a broadsword in his back pocket. I mean, the whole deal. But, so on his way out, I said it just like this. I said, please don't come back. You know, I said it loud. And, you know, it's just like, we're here to help you, and all you can do is come there and curse me out because you want to be a dumbass and you don't believe in science. You know, we got a whole lot of shit to fix here. We got a whole lot of, and not that much time. And those numbers that you cited from one of the members of the family who had been diagnosed, which I think a lot of us have had it, and we hadn't been diagnosed properly because these tests, you know, they're not accurate. But the percentages, you said 2,000 some odd people in the community where they live.
Yeah. And 47 like, dead.
And 47 dead. So, you know, roughly that's like about between 2 and 3.5% of the population is affected with that. I mean, that's just off the top of my head. You said 20, you know, less than 2,500. And then the dead, because you got to figure for each person. We went up to our.
I mean, we can run the numbers. Yeah, 47, okay, 20, we'll call it 2,400 because I'm sure it is by now. 2,400 cases out of a county population of 92,387.
Oh, okay. So that's between 2 and 4%, just about. Come on, wait.
So that'd be 9,200, be 10%. 4,600 would be 5%. 2,300 would be 2.5%.
Damn, that was some ciphering.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's the way to do it. See? Yeah, so that's pretty high. And, you know, we all have to be careful. This is going to be really treacherous. And I don't trust this vaccine. 2 months, they're going to wait two. I don't think 2 months is long enough. We're dealing with a new disease that is very tricky. This thing knows how to lie dormant and come back. It waits and it attacks any vulnerable area in your body.
Well, the thing is, there's no real answer to what the recovery process looks like.
There is none. Say it again.
We don't
right.
know. Yeah.
Don't
we,
know.
Yeah. And by the way, Jude's enjoying our conversation. She says, humor combined with serious and probing issues, differences of opinions, yet I've laughed and listening. It's a very good interchange. Thank you both. Well, thank you, Jude. Thank you.
Thanks, Jude. Oh, again, before you let me go, that, you know, one night, I think Jude called in.
Yeah.
And there was another young lady, Faith, maybe?
Yeah, it might have been Faith.
Because Faith was just, I like, man, I wish I had a neighbor like Faith. Faith was just like, I don't know why these people are so mean. I mean, it was just made all the sense in the world. Like, you have to go out of your way to be this nasty, as nasty as some of these people are being. I mean, if you don't like somebody or like what somebody else is doing, leave them alone. There's a lot of space in this country. Get the fuck away from them. If they're bothering you, you leave them alone. You don't have to attack them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It really doesn't. It isn't that hard to be decent.
Well.
Oh, and by the way, to the PA election, Bill in Allentown pointed out, Pennsylvania votes completely on paper now, so there's no video game voting. Mm-hmm. That's probably why we went for Biden. On the other hand, you might get a kick out of this. I did. I browsed it as we were talking. Lou sent me the complaint. In the United States District Court for the Middle District of Pennsylvania, this is maggots versus everybody. Secretary of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Allegheny County Board of Elections, Center County Board of Elections, Chester County Board of Elections, Delaware County Board of Elections, Montgomery County Board of Elections, Northampton County Board of Elections, and the Philadelphia County Board of Elections. Verified complaint for declaratory and injunctive relief. Now, bear in mind, the rules, and Pennsylvania, I don't think, has the actual just plain old-fashioned codified rules of civil procedure. It makes things make so much more sense. Mm-hmm. But the basic rule is you file your complaint and you put a piece of information in every paragraph, and then once you've served it, the defendant answers each and every paragraph. And so complaints tend to look like narratives where the answer just looks like admit, deny, admit, deny, 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 admit.
You mean like logic?
Yeah, and that's called joining the issues. So what you're doing is you're winnowing out what we agree on and what we disagree on, and you're going to try what is disagreed on. This is some terrible lawyering, or it looks like it to me. This complaint, in federal court, mind you, begins one, introduction, one, American citizens deserve fair elections. Well, okay, I think we can all agree. Every legal, not illegal, vote should be counted. That's a direct quote from Donald Trump. They're putting his language into the complaint. And no government power, be it state or federal, may deny American citizens the right to observe the process by which votes are cast, processed, and tabulated. We must protect our democracy with complete transparency. Now, if you're the defense counsel and you go to answer that, my tendency would be to say, and I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on the radio. How in the hell am I supposed to answer that? That's not an allegation. That's an editorial comment.
That was a ramble.
But it gets worse. Then comes paragraph two. Nothing less than the integrity of the 2020 presidential election is at stake in this action. Defendants, the very officials charged with ensuring the integrity of the election in Pennsylvania, Colonel Mustard, in the drawing room with the rope, have so mismanaged the election process that no one, not the voters and not President Trump's campaign, can have any faith that their most sacred and basic rights under the United States Constitution are being protected. The evidence is plain that defendants have been and are blatantly violating the protections and procedures, including those enacted by the Pennsylvania General Assembly, our good Republican friends, vitally necessary to ensure that the votes of the citizens of Pennsylvania are not illegally diluted by invalid ballots and that the election is free and fair. Defendant answers paragraph two by saying, sober up. Number three. While the bedrock of American elections has been transparency. some historians would have fun with that clause. Almost every critical aspect of Pennsylvania's November 3rd, 2020 general election was effectively, important adverb there, shrouded in secrecy. Democrat majority counties provided political parties and candidates, including the Trump campaign, no meaningful access, important adjective there, or actual opportunity, again with the adjectives, to review and assess mail-in ballots during the pre-canvassing meetings. What they're saying there, Todd, okay, is that they wanted to watch the absentee ballots come in and look at every ballot and say, nope, can't have that one, can't have that one, can't have right, that one, can't have that. When that's not a campaign's fucking job.
But that, number one, that's not, I know enough about the law because I had to spend a whole lot of money dealing with it. Those are just ramblings. Those aren't even legitimate statements to submit in that type of document because that's conjecture. There's a whole lot of other shit going on.
It's editorial content. With all due respect, the court should order that this complaint be dismissed, and if plaintiffs wish to, they should be able to submit it as an op-ed in the fucking newspaper where it right, might belong.
Because, you know, the counties, you can't, it doesn't work like that. Every county is different. Some counties allow just, you know, Joe Q public off the street to observe, maybe. But many places don't. You have to go to a class to be an observer.
But the larger problem is that they had all those observers. They were allowed to observe.
Well, it's just
it's kind of like what happened in Nevada when they tried to file this silly shit, and the judge in Nevada said, "The counsel, how many observers did you have in there? 50." So you had 50 observers, and you claim you didn't have any observers.
Right.
I mean, that's what we have to say, because, you know, we work for Donald Trump. Judge said, you're really not helping your dude.
But it's typical. Look, those are the types of judges that Mitch McConnell has been appointing. People that have never tried a case, don't know anything about the law, and they're judges. And they don't know shit about anything that has to do with the law.
Bear in mind, like paragraph three there, effectively shrouded in secrecy.
Effectively. Now, okay, let's dissect that word.
No meaningful access or actual opportunity.
See, those are nebulous. You can't use that.
No, those two adjectives and that one adverb are doing a hell of a lot of work. And bear in mind that in the federal court, there's this thing called Rule 11 that says that every complaint shall be signed, and moreover, that a lawyer's signature on a complaint stands as a testament by the lawyer. An assertion by the lawyer that everything in that complaint is made in good faith or in a good faith argument for a change in existing fact or law.
Well, how does that fit the criteria?
Well, the fact of the matter is, paragraph three should get whoever this horrible lawyer is, bounced out on his ass with the complaint dismissed and sanctions entered against the lawyer.
That's right.
Because every critical aspect, another hard work and adjective there, was effectively shrouded in secrecy. This is demonstrably false. There is no argument that it was shrouded in secrecy. It's absolutely untrue. It is a blatant lie, and this is a verified complaint, meaning that it is not only signed by the lawyer, but it is sworn to under oath. And before you even get past paragraph 3, when they're telling lies like that, dismiss the goddamn thing and impose sanctions against counsel. And maybe even make a reference to the Pennsylvania Bar Association.
Do you think judges like to have their time wasted with stuff like that?
No, they don't. And James Fitzpatrick is the one who verified it. He's the PAEDO director for Donald J. Trump for President, Inc. Some pettifogger by the name of Linda Kearns, of the law offices of Linda Kearns, LLC in Philly, signed the complaint. And Ronald L. Hicks for Porter, Wright, Morris, and Arthur of Pittsburgh signed as well. Those fuckers need to be bounced. You shouldn't be able to... This is... I mean, I don't know what Linda Kearns, Ronald Hicks, and Carolyn McGee do on an everyday basis. I'm thinking it may be title searches.
Mm-hmm. Those are Tea Party people, probably.
But they're not. But they're not. They're not worth shit as pleaders.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy says, so based on what Todd has said, he's heard reported, and you said, yes, it's been suggested, Trump may not be shitting bricks after all because it all depends on, well, his depends. Jeremy says, thanks, I'll let myself out. thanks for your candor, Jeremy. By the way, we got about 19 minutes left in the program, and we've got $70 to go to finish the Sochtris challenge, and 100 beyond that just to keep up. So a little help would be great.
Is that the doubling challenge?
Well, the Sochtris, the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society challenge is $100, and there's 70 to go on that. And then there's 100 beyond it so that we can keep up. Got some breaking news courtesy of Mark. One, Barr authorizes prosecutors to pursue allegations of voter fraud despite no evidence of widespread fraud. Two, CIA and FBI directors next to be fired by Trump.
Mm.
Yeah, you got to figure that Christopher Wray probably is on the way out because of the way they've been talking. Remember, who was it last week that was... it was Steve Bannon called for Christopher Wray to be beheaded.
Mm-hmm. On pipes. Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting piece of breaking news, though. More charges have been filed in the slaughter that took place in Kenosha. You remember young Kyle Rittenhouse, the wannabe militia boy,
mm-hmm.
who murdered two and maimed one.
The 17-year-old.
Well, the Kenosha News says 19-year-old Dominic Black, who's one of Kyle Rittenhouse's pals, has been charged with a felony for helping him get the assault weapon that he used for his mayhem and murder.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that. Because, 17 years old,
The criminal complaint states that Dominic Black and Rittenhouse went to Dominic Black's stepfather's home to get the gun, and that Black gave the gun to Mr. Rittenhouse to use that evening. We've been asking that question for a while now. Now we have an answer. And they were going to go to Car Source to protect it from being looted. The owner of Car Source has said in past interviews that he did not ask Rittenhouse to guard the business. That according to the Kenosha News.
Okay, Middle America, this is a flaming example of white privilege. Do a little code switching here. You know, what if some black people decided, you know what, we're going to go protect some business, and we're going to get long guns, assault rifles, you know, maybe a couple of customs. We'll see what happens. And we're just going to go out and march on the street and do this. We're going to do this because we're patriots. Now, you know, the fact that nobody is blinking an eye about this shit, I mean, some people are, but this is what enrages many of us. This is bullshit. I mean, how long do we have to wait? How long? We can't even protect ourselves. We can't even protect ourselves. You know, this has gone too far. And this shit ain't over, man. These people are angry. They're very angry. They don't understand. And you know, this is not going away anytime soon. This is a statistically significant portion of the country. And they're not trying to change. They don't want to change. They don't understand why we don't see it their way. You know, because, you know, they have all these degrees. And wait, they don't have degrees.
Well, there's that.
So... It's just waiting for a ride, man. We got to get this shit fixed. But that pisses me off. You know, who the fuck does he think he is? Fuck him. We can't even count on the police. And we got to worry about vigilantes.
Well, and what's more, there's more detail to it. It's not like he borrowed it. In point of fact, Dominic Black had purchased it. Jesus Christ. A Smith & Wesson M&P 15 rifle. He purchased it from Lady Smith Ace Home Center.
Ace is the place with the helpful murder man.
He purchased it on May 1st, 2020, from Lady Smith Ace Home Center. And Rittenhouse had given him the money to buy it with. And they stored it at Black's daddy's stepdaddy's house. And then the night of the murder, he gave him the money, or gave him the rifle that he, Black, had been paid to purchase. Those are called straw purchases. And it is,
right.
It is specifically illegal to purchase a firearm for someone else. Especially someone else from out of state.
A federal firearm license, FLA. Whatever, you have to be a dealer.
Right, and Dominic Black is looking at 12 years in Fed. And, of course, Kyle Rittenhouse is looking at life.
Now, what do you think the chances are that they had been plotting this, like on Facebook and back and forth to other like?
Oh, sure. People? I mean, that's how it happened. Absolutely. Oh, and by the way, you have been you have been awarded... Now the quality of the cowbells are being dictated. Jeremy says Todd needs a long cowbell for they have all these degrees. Wait, no, they don't have any degrees. A long cowbell.
That's all right. Thank. Oh, but look, man, the dumb people, I'm sorry. You didn't go to school. Don't hate other people.
Oh, wait, no, I got another cowbell. That horrible complaint language. Jack in Shreveport says, that comes from Kern's Bait Shop and Pleadings. Kind worms and angry lawyers. That's a two cowbell.
That is.
Yeah, that's good. That's good, Jack. That's good.
That's Mr. Haney and some other folks that's sitting around in the store and said, hey, Jim, ain't you a lawyer? You write this up, can't you? Yeah, write this up right quick. We're going to file us a complaint you know, you can't let your damn shit, your political philosophy bleed into legal pleadings.
Well, I mean, you can, no, I mean, but the thing is, this is such a dodgy, miserable, no good case that they were just putting, because look, they're looking at this as the fix being in. I'm not sure who the judge is in that case, but the whole point is once you've been bounced around and bounced out of state court, and they did the same thing in Nevada. Well, we got our ass handed to us in state court. Let's file this thing in federal court. Sooner or later, we're going to hit us a maggot judge. Then everything will be all right. And so you've got to get the thing filed in federal court, trial court level. If you've got a decent judge, it gets bounced. If you get a maggot judge, you win. But either way, then it goes to the circuit, and then hello, Justice Handmaid. We're here for you to do what you were sent here to do.
So all right.
I mean, and the thing is, getting to the Supreme Court in this day and age has absolutely nothing to do with the merits of the case. It has to do with the politics of the case.
I agree with you 100%.
The Supreme Court of the United States is an entirely corrupt, utterly politicized, and wholly partisan institution. Period.
Okay, then. If that's the case, then we need to add more judges. We need more diversity.
Well, we're going to... I tell you what, let's not put the cart before the horse.
Well, once we get enough senators, I'll put it like that.
You know, there were two competing philosophers back in the 17th century. There was Fred de Horst and, of course, René Descartes.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred de Horst does not get the recognition that he deserves as a philosopher of the late 17th century, because in point of fact, most people put Descartes before de Horst. Sorry. I'm not. No, that's just terrible. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus, why did I go to that joke? I don't get the cart before the horse. This is one of those eyes on the prize moments. And like I said, I don't know if they've talked about it or if they think it would be wise or if everybody just has to run their own damn race. But I can't help thinking that John Ossoff and Reverend Warnock, they ought to band together like super friends, and they ought to campaign together, and they ought to say, at every rally, they ought to be, yeah, vote for me and vote for him. And vote for me and vote for him. And you can multiply the power of the advertising if the ads talk about both candidates, because that way, and then you flood the airwaves with that shit.
Multiplier effect, and it's a coalition that makes all the sense in the world. That is so logical, and really, that's what it is. This is a fight for the future of this country. Come on, we have to have the Senate. This is a big this.
If it is a matter of keeping things in order, then again, remember, the Georgia runoff is January the 5th, 2021. That's 37, that's 57 days to campaign.
You hear that, Joe Scarborough? Send some bucks in, man. We need all the money we can get in Georgia. Bloomberg.
And they are both equally important. They are both equally valid. They are both equally talented. And
if you heard them speak, they make so much sense.
Yeah, well, Reverend Warnock is, of course, the minister at Ebenezer Baptist Church.
The Ebenezer Baptist Church.
And John Ossoff needs to be invited to speak there. And Ossoff should invite Reverend Warnock to speak in the synagogues of Atlanta and Savannah and Macon and Columbus and Athens and Gainesville.
Bob,
and they need to be seen as obverse and reverse of the same coin.
Right.
Because they are equally important to the soul and salvation of the nation.
That's right. Between the two of them, they represent the sentient conscious population of Georgia. The new Georgia that we want, that Georgians probably want. It's complicated down, it's complicated in Georgia now. But yet, see, that makes all the sense in the world. That's a stellar idea. You get the multiplier.
We're running out of time, but I got another stellar idea to run past you just here as we're running out. And that is this. Try this on for size. I was talking to Tracy over the weekend, and she asked me, "Who do you think Gavin Newsom's going to pick to replace Kamala Harris?" And I said, "There's a lot of talented and powerful Democrats in California." And for instance, one name that we've talked about, Katie Porter, but frankly, Katie Porter probably doesn't have the seniority, and she can use a few more terms in the House, and she'll be great there. And that's not me discounting her. We talked about Adam Schiff, and Adam Schiff having been shat on by those miserable Republican bastards. There would be a certain amount of justice in sending him to the Senate for the people of California and letting them have to deal with him and his brilliant intellect every f-ing day. But then I said, no, wait. I have the answer. We're talking about an unexpired term that will expire in 2022. Auntie Maxine. Send Representative Maxine Waters to the Senate of the United States and let her spend every day of those 2 years making Mitch McConnell cry.
Oh, my God.
Let her stand up and call him the Confederate motherfucker that he is.
The D.C. Metro healthcare system would not be able to handle all the casualties coming from Washington after that. There'd be too many cardiac arrests. You can't do that. You can't upset these old white men like that.
Isn't it beautiful?
No, but that, I don't know. That might work. Look, it's something to think about. It's something to think about. Well,
imagine just making Mitch McConnell or John Cornholio or Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, or Rand Paul and that thing on his head, or Richard Shelby of Alabama, or whoever Marsha. Goodness, Blackburn.
Oh, she couldn't stand that.
Oh, Marcia, yeah. She'd,
oh, God,
yeah,
she couldn't.
Mm. She'd come unglued.
Can you see them in the ladies' room together?
No.
Maxine would be like, "Wash your hands, Marcia, you nasty bitch." Sorry.
But yeah.
I'm not sorry.
And I'm not going to let you out of here without a couple of minutes of chili talk.
Oh, please.
Did you see the pictures?
I hadn't been on. I had not. Is it on your the feed on the Head On Live?
It went to Twitter, so I don't know. It should be there. I'm not sure if it picked up that tweet or not, but damn, Todd, it's good.
How good?
Been simmering for 2 days. Good.
Damn.
Brisket that fell apart when I touched it. Good. I was able to just put on food handler gloves. and reach my hands onto the brisket and just start tearing it to pieces. No knives necessary.
Oh, shit. Damn.
And just tearing it into little pieces. Yeah.
Did you have the Foley when you made it? Did the new
the Foley got here.
Okay.
And it's really cool, too, because it's got replaceable bottoms, different sizes. And so that chili paste, that chili puree just came out beautiful. And there's a picture of that on my Instagram and on Facebook and on Twitter.
That's what I want to see.
The flavor.
Damn.
And,
you know what? Is that like a mole?
I was actually you.
We're on the same.
Great. In the same mindset. You got to understand that mole is the Nahuatl word that just means mixture. That's all it means. Mm-hmm. In modern Mexican parlance, mole means a particular sauce that's put together with like chocolate and chilies and and you usually cook it with turkey.
That's the one I used to always get.
What that probably is the original chili.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I try to get close to or imitate a little bit when I do this. I try to use things that the ancients would have used. Well, I use Mayacobas because we know that they've been extant in the Valley of Mexico for, 5,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And no, there wasn't any beef cattle, but there were deer. And to make that chili with a piece of deer,
there is nothing wrong with venison. People who know how to cook venison, I'm not right.
Or turkey.
Oh, sure.
Because those are all native to the Americas. Pardon?
Have you had your chili? Have you had it naked? Have you had it? When I say naked, I mean just plain bold chili, because there's so many different ways you can eat it.
Oh, yeah. I was doing that before the program came on. I made quesadillas for dipping. And I've had it with a dollop of sour cream. I've had it with some fresh, finely chopped onion, just kind of sprinkled over the top.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, when you're not home, I'm coming over there, and I'm turning on the Blackstone, and I'm just saying, I'm going to have some sausage.
That was the other thing I toyed with. I haven't done it yet, but it turned out I was at the Wiggling Pig, and they now have the hot and spicy Kaneka.
Oh, shit.
You know, the stuff with the white label and the red letters? Red and black letters? Yeah.
It's hot, too. It was hot.
And I was thinking about cutting up some really tiny, just cutting some spicy Kaneka up in little tiny chunks and tossing it in there and letting it simmer for a while, along with the brisket. I talked myself out of it, though. The other thing, though, is Saturday, I went by the farmer's market, and the lady there who makes salt rising bread was around. I got two loaves. One loaf of this stuff weighs like 4 pounds. It's that dense. And I immediately, and I posted that up too. When I got up, I think Sunday morning, just to give me the energy to get through, get my day started, I sliced it and toasted it in, good European butter. And so after the bottom side was toasted, I flipped it over and got the second side. And while the second side was toasting, I got out the Dundee's orange marmalade that they got me at Piggly Wiggly. Can't get it anywhere around here, but you can get it there. Same as Kaneka. Only place in West Virginia you can get it. And I just spooned some of that Dundee's orange marmalade on. And then I took a couple of slices. I did it later. At first I did the orange marmalade and gave it to Agnes and Ferg, and I had a bite. And then I put on some more slices, and at that point in time, I was blissing so hard I didn't take a picture. But I got out Roger's pepper jelly and smeared that on a toasted slice of that salt rising bread. And good God Almighty. Oh, it was righteous. It was religious.
Y- You know what? There was a reason that he, you know, the bipedals, when we started making bread, it made us slow the fuck down. It's like, this is too good. We had beer, we had bread. We need to stop moving for a little while.
Oh, it was good. And I got about 2 gallons of this chili left, and some of it is going, by God, into the freezer.
Do you have a 5 gallon stock pot?
This was a 4 gallon.
Okay. Maybe that's the size I have. It's 4 or 5 gallons. I don't know if it's enamel, but I can envision that, like, right on top of the Blackstone to stay, you know, just warm enough. So when people are there, you can, everybody.
Yeah, I'll keep it at a low simmer for when you sneak by in the middle of the night.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it might be a little level a little bit low, but it's okay. You know, it's better than your neighbors. I mean, all they're doing is packing coal in the house.
Well, yeah, and flying their Confederate flag. Don't forget that. But the other thing is, you know, the broth, you know, because the way I do the brisket, it goes naked in the smoker for a while, you know, all rubbed and everything, mm-hmm. and it just smoke. You got that smoke around there. But mm-hmm. after about 6 hours of that, I put it in an aluminum roaster and pour in water around it. So basically it's a braise at that point. Put the foil on top really, really tight. Get the fire down 225 and walk away. Mm. And when I came back, that brisket broth with all those seasonings, I poured that off into a plastic container. And you can see the fat floating in it. And put mm-hmm. the lid on that, put it in the refrigerator, and the fat firmed up, skimmed that off, and then I just salted the broth. Whew!
Well, you're ready for the next batch now.
Oh, no. You know what comes next? And I just haven't worked up the courage to do the ramen broth, but that's going to happen.
The pork belly. Okay.
No, the next thing I decided is going to be a smoked pork butt worked into a chili verde.
Oh.
So I got to get some kick at, you know, I don't know. I'm going to have to reach out and see if I can find somebody to send me some whole hatch green chilies, or buy them somewhere and add in some jalapenos and a shit ton of tomatillos and roast them all and then run those bastards through the Foley food mill. And add in pork broth and onions and garlic and serve that over like paella rice. Maybe even do the even do part of it in the paella pan. Shit! Oh my God! What an idea!
Yep.
Whew.
Yep.
But that'll be some kind of good too. And eventually, I'll work up my courage to make the ramen broth. Because if I can put 48 hours into a pot of chili, I can put 36 hours into a pot of ramen broth.
But
it's just that with the chili, I know what I'm doing. With the ramen broth, I don't.
Well, you know, you can't mess up that bad. I mean, you're probably not going to mess up. You know, if you know how to cook, you'll be able to pull it off. But this brisket, see, when you're talking about that soft, that is. Just what you want in that chili, man. Just that meat just falling apart, where it's not sinewy. It's just part of the.
Yeah, because I mean, brisket can be tough because it's a working cut of meat.
Right.
But this it was so tender. And man. You know, just all those flavors. Oh. Because those chilies, you know, it's like there's those dried red chilies. It's really wild. I was telling our buddy Dr. John,
when you rehydrate
those things, they're brick red when they're dried in the bag. And, you know, you open them, you dump the seeds, you split them open so that the water gets to them. And they turn back to green to a certain extent when they rehydrate.
Well, we have access to that here. I mean, there's a large Spanish-speaking, you know, South American, Central American population here. And they look, you can get these big, like a foot long, dried chilies in the cellophane.
Yeah, those are the ones. Those are the ones I used.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
But I also used, but I also used pekins, tapines, Hapones and De Arbols. And they just, they all, I mean, because all these chilies have different flavors.
Sure they do.
And they were like, it's like having a choir and the difference between the sopranos and the altos and the baritones and the basses and the tenors. I'm really in deep shit with Shorty in L.A. And Shorty called into Dr. Bill today, and it was really cool.
Oh, man, I got to listen.
Shorty said a few minutes ago, geez Louise, Bob, so much for eating this. This what I thought would be a nice-ass meatball sandwich from Subway. And then said, you're killing me, Bob. Screw you. Send me brisket ASAP. Man, it's rough when you're getting the screw you from Shorty.
That's terrible. But good God, man, what are you talking about? See, and I've got this book in front of me that I've been working with. It's called Artesian Bread in 5 Minutes a Day by Jeff Hertzberg, MD, and Zoe Francois. And, man, this book has got some recipes in it for bread like nobody's business. And now that I have that, I still got that same batch of starter. I keep feeding it, and I'm not letting this one go. This is going to be like that starter in San Francisco in 1840.
Woo!
But
if you got to try to find you some, you got to try to find you some salt rising bread. There is so nothing like that.
Does Trader Joe's sell it?
No. No, I mean, I don't know. I'll have to check in with.
Is that Irish? I think that's
an no. I don't know. It's not Irish. I mean, I don't think it is. It's very hillbilly.
I think it's in this book. It's called salt. Because I swear I saw.
It's yeah, not soda bread. Salt rising bread.
Right. Soda bread is definitely scones and right. That's Irish. Oh boy. Well, let me see. So salt. Oh, salt. Okay.
Lee in New York just said, "Hey Bob, you gotta start your meat through the mail business. Shorty's tired of waiting." Well, if Donald, if Donald Trump can do it.
Donald Trump. I wonder what he's doing right now.
Oh, my God. Well, we've run over a little bit, but we had to have a little food porn just to balance out all the crazy.
Let me ask you one quick question, because I just, tangent person. But when he fires these folks, does that affect their retirement? Like,
No, that doesn't affect your retirement. Criminal convictions do, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy, I don't know. We gotta be free of this individual quickly. I guess I should be happier than I am, but it's just I'm not. It's just too many. It's too much collateral. Too much collateral stuff going on. I have an important question. This has been this has almost come to blows over this shit. I'm serious. I know you have to go. Now, I'm around professionals mostly, English majors, professors, doctors, lawyers, all that kind of stuff. That's the crowd I hang with. And there's this debate about the past tense when you send someone a text message. And the English major who graduated some years ago says it's text, even if it's past tense. And I say, well, maybe when you were in school, but when you were in school, there were no text messages. And I don't know. Have you done any research, or do you have an opinion on that? In other words, past tense to me is texted.
Yeah.
That sounds funny, but that's just the way it is.
Hey, that doesn't even sound like a valid argument. Because I don't think it existed in a verb form until text messaging came along.
Well, that's my point. And I related it to my experience. I said, well, I have a degree in psychology. I said, but, you know, even when I was working, because of tuition remission, I was able to keep working on studies and laboratories, all kinds of stuff, because I would make sure I was certified. I saw a project coming up. They pay for it. If you can't make a C, it pays for it as long as you make a C. If you can't make a C, you don't need to be working at the university. But, so, right, so it was tested because they didn't have the time yet. Okay, I'm getting C. So.
No, I know. Those things drive me crazy, too. Like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, saying the media don't, or the media doesn't, when, at least technically, if you've had any kind of Latin at all, you know it's the media don't, because it's they, right. not it.
That's exactly why I brought it up. That's what made me think about it. I'm like, this serendipity with your program is just amazing. I mean, there's so many things. It just comes into play all the time. It's important shit we have to talk about here.
Well, right. I mean, otherwise chaos breaks out. Yeah.
So. Well, look, thanks for taking my call, and shout out to all the Horn family. And you know, we have to, well, we gotta keep our eyes open. I mean, I have a bad feeling. This fucker is out of control.
No, it's just, he is out of control, and bad things are going to happen. But this is one of the, but this is no, this is why the phrase eyes on the prize exists. Eyes on the prize comes from a time when a person of color could be beaten to death for trying to cast a vote. We can't walk around in fear when there is something so great to be attained. Eyes on the prize. Eyes on the prize. Oh, and by the way, Shorty says, that was a loving screw you. I understand, Shorty. That was a loving screw you, and slap Trump. That was. I'm hungry, and Trump is still in tantrum mode. That he is.
He is. Oh, now I'm on chili. I can't stop thinking about the chili now. That's a damn shame. Thanks, Bob.
Well, I mean, maybe there's a decent restaurant where you can get a bowl.
Yeah.
But this stuff really is labor intensive, and that's why I don't make it too often.
Look what you have, and that now you have, you know, the proper place to put it and all that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get specific, but you know what I mean. So that's shoot. You don't have to go get ice every 10 minutes.
No. That's beautiful.
You know what I mean? It makes a difference.
Yeah, and well, you know, go on social media and. See if you can see it. See if you can find it. If not, I'll send you food pornography.
You know, I'll be seeing it.
And by the way, one last thing on the way out the door, our buddy Matt in San Francisco, the senator from California, Barbara Lee or Maxine Waters would be fine with me. Ooh, I didn't even think about Barbara Lee. That would be equally acceptable to me because she too would make Confederate Moscow Mitch cry. He'd just look at her and start bawling.
Yep.
I think my polio's acting up. Evil fucker.
That's not fair, Bob, making fun of his polio.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, he's lost any type of deference that would have been afforded to him. He's used, in other words, he's used up his attribution points.
No, I mean, imagine what would happen. What would happen in America? It's one of those. It's one of those time travel, speculative kind of things. But you know, you build the time machine, you just run back to Sheffield, Alabama, and go. Nah, I'm sorry, little Mitch can't go to Warm Springs, Georgia, because he's going to fuck millions of Americans. Nope, sorry.
The world would have been a better place.
Right. Do you remember? I forget how it arose a few years ago, but there was this big stink over. Somebody being asked, "Well, would you, if you could travel in time, would you abort Hitler?"
Duh.
Jesus, you're a fucking wing nuts, goddamn Republicans!
What is it? The da da da, and that was a German band. The duh, duh, duh. Remember that?
Yeah. Danzinger ist ein Lied für du. Von 99 Luftballons. Sure. Oh God, Todd, I got to get out of here before I lose my mind. I want to know, and I want a bowl of chili.
Well, you might be able to do it. Congratulations, and don't tell the people over the river, because they really will be setting up chairs in your yard. It may not be a good thing.
Maybe sell it.
Shh. All right, man.
You know, Bob Kincaid, pirate chili chef. Yar.
Pirate. Pop-up chili. You know how they do that.
I know. It happens. Oh, and by the way, back when you didn't laugh at how can you vote straight Republican and vote for Lindsey Graham? Yeah, you got shit from Shorty, too.
I'm going to be, man, come on, I'll be 90, man. Don't be beating me up with this. Oh, my God. Go ahead.
Todd, you lost cool points on that straight Republican joke. Damn, that's worse than having a cowbell pulled back.
I'm telling you, it's bad, but it was just so hard. It was the first time I saw the flip side of this mailer, and I'm looking at Lindsey Graham and the orange menace, and it's just disgusting. Fighting COVID and rebuilding our economy, in print. Fighting COVID. The fuck is that, man? These people are out of their fucking minds.
It's hard to end the program now. The latest, nitwit Nero is now claiming that he won Georgia. because Brian Kemp says he'll only count the legal votes. The votes have already been counted.
No, Bob, legal votes are votes for Trump. Any vote that is not for Trump is not a legal vote.
Right, votes, but the legal vote, come on. What? This is, damn it.
You gotta get with the program.
Damn it, this is 1920, this 1923. The only votes that are legal votes are votes that are cast by, wait, no, it's 1918. The only votes that are legal votes, it's 1920. The only votes that are legal votes are votes that are cast by white men.
You know damn well y'all niggers can't vote. Now y'all go home and get ready for work tomorrow, else y'all is fired.
I mean, so Brian Kemp tweets, Georgia's election result will include legally cast ballots and only legally cast ballots, period.
That fucker doesn't know when to
show. Dipshit Donnie subtweets it and says, this is good news. It means I won. And CC's Doug Collins and Sonny Perdue.
Excuse me. I had to comment on this. No good can come of having someone that represents you named Sonny. That just, it reeks of corruption.
Hey, look what they did to my Sonny.
The fuck? You're a grown-ass man, Sonny. The fuck out of here, man. That's some dumb-ass shit.
Okay, I think I made a mistake, and before I can be hit by the corrections department, I think it's look what they did to my Santino.
Look, you know what? There's wrong. They, you know what these people do? They slather too much Santorum on their sandwiches.
Oh, Jesus, that idiot was out this weekend, too. I was sitting there watching him talking about what Biden needed to do. And I thought, you know, there are so many useless things on this earth. Kickstands on tanks, screen doors on submarines, tits on nipples on bulls. And Rick Santorum talking about anything. Jesus. Oh, that fucking idiot. What's wrong with CNN? You know, we keep asking that, but maybe CNN deliberately hires the most obnoxious, odious, idiotic Republican they can find, in which case, I mean, they really did put it out of the park with Rick Santorum. So there's that.
You know, I have to admit, man, lately I always, try to take in as much different types of news as possible, but I've been taking in as much CNN as I can, but they're kind of cartoonish.
Oh, I can barely watch it.
It's too much. I mean, it's not even news. What the fuck? And on the one hand, the right wingers, they have a point with CNN. Now, I think MSNBC, I guess they're supposed to be leaning left, but they're kind of fair. If you ask, I know I'm biased, but CNN is definitely slanted left, and they're cartoonists. They're not even objective. It's not my cup of tea. I put it like that.
I know. I understand. It's unbearable. Todd, have a good evening, my friend. Take it easy.
All right. You too. Enjoy your chili.
I'm gonna. I'll think about you.
And I'll look forward to the pictures. And okay. I'll see you later.
All right. Later, Todd. Bye now. And so we come to the end of the program. Thank you to Jeremy. And thank you to Libby, and thank you to Kitty in Boston. Thank you very kindly. We'll start tomorrow's program at, I can't even figure it. Too much. I did fast ciphering earlier. So I don't know where we'll start. Maybe on the overnight crew, if you'd like to help us knock out the Sostris Challenge, there's $70 to go in that and $100 to go to finish the evening. Thank you. Thank you in advance if you do. And thanks to all of you who, with your PayPal and your Patreon subscriptions, your a la carte contributions, keep this program on the air. Thank you so very much. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Remember, brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just a little move over a half hour away in for the live program. HeadOn.live is the best place to listen to the Malloy program. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. Numbers are going up. The cases are going up. Deaths are going up. Best way to stay safe, to stay home. If you have to be out and about, please wear your mask, wear your gloves, wash your hands, carry hand sanitizer with you everywhere you go. Maintain your social distance. Not 6 feet, but 10 or 15 or 20 even. Because this thing travels like we didn't know before. And if somebody comes toward you saying, they counted the ballots in virtual secrecy, avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Later.